Hey, do you like podcasts?
Yes.
Do you like
fucking movies? Yes. Do drunk people annoy you? A little bit. Jesus Christ, man.
If you answered yes, yes, enough.
In a little bit, your name's Justin Time. Hi, how's it going, folks? That's me. To my left here, we got JTB, who's having a little too much fun with his own byline.
I can't remember. I gotta write that down.
He doesn't know how it goes.
I gotta write that down.
And then, of course, we have the lovely Danielle sitting across from me.
Hello.
Hello.
For those of you who don't know, she has a name placard in front of her.
I do. I do. Look it.
We have it facing her, so she knows who she is.
Yeah, we don't want her forgetting that.
Thank you, guys.
Always know who you are.
And
I'm
never
a
forget.
Unicorn.
That's pretty fucking profound, folks.
It's right there.
Very deep.
But we are, collectively, Drunk Film Commentary.
Yes, we are.
Tonight, as is tradition with Bruce Willis films, we are going to try the summary format of our show.
We love Bruce Willis, but he makes very long movies.
Well, yeah, because some of our shit gets really long.
Long and intricate.
Yes.
Quite intricate.
And when you're drunk and you're watching a long movie with two other drunk people and you're talking about it, it makes for a four-hour
excursion.
Yeah. It's
it was a three-hour tour.
So we're going to try and just get through this film, but we're doing The Fifth Element.
The Fifth Element.
It's a 1997 film directed by Luc Besson and stars Bruce Willis, Gary Oldman, and Emilia Jovovich. Is that right?
I think he's either been practicing that last
Jovovich.
Name.
Jovovich.
Or he just got it out because he was drunk.
What Jovovich?
Jovovich.
Pretty sure you don't got to say it like a gay Italian man, but okay.
Oh.
Hey, there's no gay Italians.
Well,
what?
Yeah, you're right. They're just called Italians.
Oh.
Ooh.
That's bad.
Hey, I said it before. There's no group of people I won't insult.
I'm okay with that, except you're sitting with two Italians.
So watch it.
Three.
Yeah, but
I'm not a lot of Italian. I'm
only
a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm mostly Polish. I'm mostly Polish. It shows.
I got a joke for you.
Oh, boy.
I'm joking. Anyway, I won't
hey, you want to hear a Polish knock-knock joke?
No.
All right, you start.
Knock-knock.
Who's
yeah.
there?
Oh, look at him go.
Me?
You who?
It's me, Justin.
Oh.
Talk to me.
Come on in.
Hey, thanks.
Come on in.
Dave's not here, man. Sorry.
So we're talking The Fifth Element, one of Bruce Willis's movies. And it came out in May 7th, 1997. Just in time, what happened back then in 1997?
Whoa. Let me step in the Wayback Machine.
97.
Dun, dun, dun.
1997. I was a ripe 8 years old.
I gave birth to my daughter in 1997.
Hmm.
I was living in a basement working in a gas station in 1997.
Oh, well, there's a reason we didn't meet yet.
Why weren't you guys hanging out with me?
Well,
I'm fucking eight. What?
I'm
I wasn't doing nothing.
I could have touched some stuff, Justin.
I was multiplying. That's what I was doing.
I'm
multiplying and fingering my fucking nose.
Actually, in May 97, that was right when Star Wars was back out, re-released. And we were kind of, the toys were out. We were buying toys and getting drunk and stoned and playing our toys.
You were buying toys, and how old were you in 1997?
Like 23.
We were probably buying the same toys.
23, yeah.
Oh, no, your parents
were
buying them for you.
Well, my parents were buying me the same
toys. Well, my one friend... He lived with his parents, and...
Could you be more specific?
And he delivered pizzas.
You all fucking
He made good money, so he would buy tons of these toys, and he didn't want to bring them home because we never really went to his house. He lived with his parents. Actually, he lived with his grandparents, I'm sorry. But, not you, Justin.
Hold the phone, folks.
But, so he'd bring these toys over to my place, my basement house, and he'd buy, like, stormtroopers, and we had the Millennium Falcon.
So it was your friend's parents' basement. Correct?
That I was living in?
Yeah.
Yeah, but there we were all... That was the hangout spot, though. That's where everyone went anyway.
Uh-huh.
Not my other friends, where he lived.
With
he's the one who bought all the Star Wars toys
with,
for us.
Where he lived with his grandparents.
Yeah, yeah. That wasn't really a hangout spot. My place was.
You guys were so cool. Why was I not friends with you back then?
We had a band set up in there.
Oh, hell.
Yeah, we had a...
Also, I've heard your band play.
Yeah, I'm super envious of those.
They're all horrible in their
secret
own
recordings. God, to not hear what's on the cutting room floor.
Soberphobic right there. Look it up.
I'm soberphobic phobic.
Hence our name of drunk film commentary.
Hey, yeah, look at that. I was in a band called Soberphobic, and I'm now doing drunk film commentary.
Hey, you notice the theme?
A theme to life? Yeah. Yeah. Oh, fuck.
20 years later.
10.
Finally figured it the fuck out.
Not even 10.
Dude, you're like 60. Shut up.
Yeah.
Anyways, The Fifth Element.
You're 43. I'm just saying.
The Fifth Element, the movie
soberphobic.
The movie that we're doing here, The Fifth Element.
Oh yeah, and you're talking about 1997.
I'm bringing us all back to 97. It's
gonna be like a 3-hour podcast, folks.
I'm talking jelly shoes and inflatable furniture, folks.
Those fucking jelly shoes hurt my feet.
Frosted tips. I'm talking 97.
KTV had frosted tips.
I had frosted tips.
I did.
I had frosted tips in 97. I guarantee.
I tried it once.
May 7th, 1997. Guarantee you, I had frosted tips.
May 9th. Okay, I guess I'm off on this.
Yeah, that would be the Monday or Sunday. Sunday.
Probably Sunday.
Sunday. But anyways, it was a number one box office release.
Which one?
The Fifth Element.
Wow.
Element V.
Yes.
The other ones in order were Father's Day, which I'm assuming is a movie about Father's Day.
Don't know what that is.
I never saw that one.
Me either. But it was a number two.
Okay.
Breakdown, a movie I'm assuming is about a guy taking a bunch of cardboard boxes apart and putting them in a trash can. Because, yeah. And then Austin Powers, International Man of Mystery.
I did see that one, right?
Coming in at the fourth, yeah.
Yeah. So it's been out for a few weeks.
It probably had already been out for a couple of months at that point. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
At least like a month, probably.
Yeah.
Do you remember any movies from 1997?
And then Volcano. Didn't 40 Days and 40 Nights come out in 97?
Oh, I don't know. I don't think so.
Pretty sure.
Maybe.
It might have been 96, but I'm pretty sure.
Is that the one with Harrison Ford?
Yeah.
On the island?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I don't have no idea.
Yeah, it's quite an adult movie. I saw it in theaters.
Was it Anne Heche, right?
Yeah. Yes,
you can see her butthole in Psycho.
Okay. You know...
You always forget about the brown eye in Psycho.
Yeah, you know that? You heard that?
Yeah. Well, I've heard about it. I haven't seen it, but I always forget to...
I'm sure we can find it.
I'm sure you got the internet.
Oh, yeah, you got the...
You could fucking find videos of girls eating poop, so...
Oh. Well,
pretty sure you could find that
one. Did Danny find name?
No.
Was it 97?
The one I'm looking at is from 40
Days and 40 Nights, right?
Yeah.
There's
Harrison Ford.
2002, and it was with...
How am I that far off?
With that one kid. What the fuck is his name? I can't...
Snoop Dogg?
No, the one from... Sixth Sense and Green Mile. And,
Haley Joel Osment?
Yeah, that kid.
Wasn't a Green Mile.
No, it was Josh Hartnett.
Josh Hartnett.
Oh,
Josh
that
Hartnett.
Kid. Yeah.
No, not the one about jerking off. Not the one about jerking off.
Yeah, that's all I'm finding. But I know what you were talking about.
Yeah, no, that one came out. I'll find
it. That's called something else. It's like 29 days or 20.
What I'm talking about? No.
No, the Harrison Ford one.
Oh.
Yeah, no, the Josh Hartnett one where he gives up sex for Lent or whatever.
That's called 40 Days and 40 Nights.
Oh, okay. Then what's the Harrison Ford one
I'm
called?
Looking it up right now. Give
All
me
right,
a Danny second.
Okay.
Give me just
we got
a
our,
moment.
We got our best men on it. Top people.
Yeah, of course you got the best woman on it.
Did this come out in 97? That's what we're talking about.
Darn right we do.
97. It was 98, and it was 7 days and seven nights.
That's what it is.
Because in 97...
A lot shorter time period.
Well, much shorter. Yeah. Much shorter.
In 97, he was doing Air Force One and The Devil's Own.
Okay.
Badass movie.
Yeah.
Air Force One. Gary Oldman, which is in The Fifth Element.
Bring it
but
full
I was
circle,
ask
folks.
You, do you remember any movies that you saw in 97 that you thought were...
I thought I
were
did.
...were funny? Yeah, not you, evidently. like, there was quite a few as I was looking up the 97 movies, that just kind of seeing what came up across the screen. And there was Liar Liar and...
Well, I was going to say 97, 98 were great years for movies. It wasn't necessarily great years for me to go see movies.
Even
but
Gattaca.
Romy and Michelle was the first movie I walked out of.
Was it really?
Yeah. Well, not the first movie I walked out
of.
Well,
what about their high school reunion?
I never got that far.
Con Air.
Oh, yeah,
Face
Con Air,
off.
Yeah.
Face Off was horrible.
Those were... Actually, I liked it
Face
back
off,
then.
All right.
Horrible.
I will never watch that movie again. But in one of my theater classes, we had to watch it, because you had to watch them learn how to become the other guy and how it was, you know what I mean? It's a great piece of acting, whatever.
To study each other and learn to be
them. Yeah, but the movie itself I found long and trivial and
is it Nicolas Cage and
John Travolta.
Both those guys I don't like.
See, and I like
I like both of them, but I don't like that movie.
You know what other movie was out then?
Austin Powers.
Look Who's Talking?
Titanic.
Oh yeah. That came out later on, though.
Yeah.
Like December.
And the movie Anastasia, which is my daughter's middle name.
Wait, the cartoon one?
The Chick on the Train?
Oh, yeah.
Yep. The Chick on the Train movie?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. With the bat?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Or Chick on a Train.
No, I watched that movie a bunch of times. I mean, it's actually a really, really good movie.
There were some good movies that came out. Men in Black.
Mm-hmm.
Batman and Robin? No.
Batman and Robin wasn't a very good movie. It was a movie. I've seen it.
So, Justin, what else happened on this day in 1997?
On this day in 1997, Anne Heche came out of the closet.
Did we just talk about her and her butthole?
We were.
As Ellen DeGeneres' current love interest.
Oh, yeah.
Was this the first one where Ellen DeGeneres came out as gay, or was this, like, the second one?
I think this was her
first girlfriend.
That's what I thought.
Well, the first famous one, then, I guess.
I suppose.
But, yeah, I think she just kind of... I think Anne Heche and her butthole came out right after Ellen did.
Oh, nice.
But Anne Heche isn't a lesbian anymore, is she? She was just, like, banging the star, right?
I don't know. I feel like their relationship was a little more casual, and then they got seen together, so they just... let's see what's up.
Oh, this is fun.
Yeah. Well, I think Anne Heche, I mean, her partner now is James Tupper.
That sounds like a dude, but you never know.
Yeah, it
sounds like a dude.
It is.
There are some chick Jameses, though.
Yeah.
There's a couple. There's one model or something. James something.
Yeah. She had gotten married in 2001.
Okay.
To a guy named Coleman.
Oh. So,
yeah.
Hey, she needs a cock.
She likes both. Whatever.
I would say something, but I'm not going to say it. Anyways, so you know the newfangled DVD players?
Hey.
They're only running about $500.
What's it, 20 years ago, right?
It's the new wave. Yeah, 20 years ago. Almost. No, not that far off from the day, really.
Yeah, well, 6 weeks or so.
Yeah. That's pretty close.
I remember.
For 20 years.
That's funny because we had the Wayne's World where it was the 25th anniversary.
25th, yeah.
And this one's coming up on the 20th, so...
That was the same year I bought a 5-disc DVD changer with surround sound. It was a Sony.
DVD changer?
Yeah.
Holy shit, what did that run you?
$2,500. Yep. It was for a wedding present, so.
Oh, well.
Damn. It was my wedding present.
I never saw the real reason for a 5-disc.
You know, there was.
DVD changer? No.
Back then,
if you're having a party or something, yeah.
But it was with surround sound, so you could totally put CDs in there.
Okay.
And play different CDs as well.
If you're like going through movies that much, you can't get up and walk to the fucking player every fucking 90 minutes or 2 hours. Yes.
But now,
you got a problem.
But now that would be great for like the Harry Potter movies.
Yeah, if you're binge watching movies like that.
I mean, now there's Netflix, so there's no need.
Stack them and just go through and take a disc out.
Nobody wants to get up when you're laying down, snuggled up under a blankie.
Every 2 hours, you can't get up.
No,
you can, but you don't want to.
No,
come on.
Duh.
Really?
Sometimes you gotta pee, you gotta get a drink, you gotta just go...
I have seen you... You know what? Let's not.
What?
What else?
So, what do you think the top TV shows in May 1997 were?
1997?
I wasn't watching a whole lot of TV.
Seinfeld, maybe?
That's in the top five.
I didn't watch that until after it was off the air, you know?
Yeah, me neither, but, well, I saw the finale of Seinfeld.
While
I was in jail.
Yeah. Oh, really? While you were in jail, too? Nice.
Well, you were, too?
Not 97, he wasn't.
Yeah. No, but the characters were.
Yeah, no, that's what was funny about being it.
That's why I was laughing.
I was doing 10 days. Well, it was no big deal. It was a thing a long time ago. Something stupid, but I was doing my 10 days, and that was coming on, the Seinfeld finale. So we're all like, well, so we're all huddled on TV, just standing around watching it. And we watched the whole thing, and if you haven't seen it, spoiler. But
the
four main cast members get sentenced to a year in jail.
For not helping.
So it ended, and we all kind of looked at each other like, wow, it's kind of ironic, huh? We kind of walked away like, it's kind of weird, a little weird.
We all grew a little in that moment.
Yeah. But,
what other TV shows?
Yeah, what else was it?
ER.
Oh,
yeah. George Clooney. Mm-hmm.
That was huge.
Friends.
Yeah. 97.
Right. Here's two that you probably haven't thought about in a long time.
Herman's Head.
I don't care who you get head from. Suddenly Susan.
Oh.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
What about that Carolyn show?
Carolyn in the City?
Yeah. Was that one in there, too?
No, that's not Well, that's not one of these, but that show was on
that
at the same time.
Yeah.
That was probably top 10.
That was probably top 10, yeah.
One was...
And then Home Improvement.
I liked that one. Suddenly Susan, what was that?
Who was the chick? What's her name? The model?
Amy...
No, the old... Suddenly Susan.
Was it Brooke Shields?
Yes.
I do know that show then. Okay.
Yes, that's the one. And then the other one, Carolina in the City, was the chick from Back to the Future, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Leah Thompson?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, those
I couldn't think of her name either.
Those are both nice shows, yeah.
Suddenly Susan, it's like I remember, Kathy Griffin and David Strickland. Okay. It's all coming back.
It was on TGI Friday for a while.
Yeah. I had no life back then.
I think it got bumped to like Wednesday nights or Thursday
and
nights
Suddenly
or something.
Susan was on from 96 to 2000. It was on until 2000. Holy fuck.
Fuck if I know. But the two classic Fox shows had their finales at this around this time. Married with Children.
Oh, great show. That was like one of their first shows, too.
Yeah. And Martin.
Martin.
Shanae.
Whose house?
Martin's house.
Wow.
Any guess on what the number one songs in the nation were?
In 97? No?
97, no.
The number one song was Hypnotize by the Notorious B.I.G.
Wow.
And Mary J. Blige's Share My World was at the top of the album charts.
Oh, okay.
And then on the alternative rock charts, The Freshman by The Verve Pipe was number one. So
that was a horrible song.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Wow.
All right, we're going to take a little break here, and we'll be right back.
Biggie there every night. Days are under rules. Never lose, never choose to. Bruce, Bruce, who? Do something to us. Come on. Talk, go through us. Do us, want to us. Want to do us. Screw us. Who us? Yeah, Papa and Pump.
So this is Hypnotize. I didn't know the name of this one.
Yep.
Or it was in the bar for a few times.
I bet.
This biggie, can't you see?
Yep.
Yeah. That
was fun. Your words just hypnotize me.
That's the only way I knew it was Biggie Smalls.
Well, I guess him saying his name over and over again would be a good indicator of who's singing the song.
You know, so this is going, stop talking over. I love this song. But yeah, I'm out of whiskey, so we're going to take a little break.
You could have been getting more whiskey.
That's true.
Instead of talking over the music.
On to DKNY. Prefer Versace. Go with Moschino. Every cutie with a booty bought a coochie. Edited? Really?
Oh, it's Spotify. That's how most of these so-called gangsters act. Rapping about blunts and bras.
Sex and expensive cars. Still do you on the paper. Condo fuck it, right?
Are we back?
We are back. Hey, we're back. I don't know.
Hey, folks. How's it going?
I don't know where we missed you, but we're going to try and rein this in here a little bit. We got a movie to talk about.
Yeah,
we do.
All right, I'm ending that commercial.
good music on a commercial.
We should probably stop taking breaks every 18 minutes if we're going to...
As far as we got?
Yeah. Well, we're not even at 20 minutes yet.
Well, we didn't even get to the movie yet.
No. Yeah, that's...
Oh, shit.
So what we're talking about is The Fifth Element.
Yeah.
So
we've said that enough.
Quickly, let's do first initial impressions, Justin.
My initial impression, I probably saw this movie for the first time. I don't know, I was probably between 11 and 13 somewhere.
Okay, great. Danny, first impression of the movie.
I'm going to think that the first time I saw it, I don't really quite remember it a whole lot.
Okay, that's great. My first impression was I saw it when it came out on video.
Oh, that's great.
Okay.
All right, sounds good.
So, let's get to the movie, huh? So it starts out in the past, actually.
Right.
In 1914, there's a ship approaching. These guys in this temple in Egypt, correct?
Correct.
So it starts out with the professor and Luke Perry, of all people. So Luke Perry, yeah, he's you a big Luke Perry fan? I'm sorry.
No.
Oh. Used to be, not anymore.
He's
now that he's on ARP.
Yeah, he's the artist there. So, what did you think of the temple, Justin?
Oh, the temple was quite well done.
Okay, and then the whole scene comes up that the Amanda, I keep getting these guys confused. The Manda Shawans show up.
The weird guys.
Yeah, how did these guys get to the top of the food chain?
Yeah, how the fuck do they advance?
They can't even
the
walk.
Warp speed and shit. Yeah.
I kind of thought maybe they were in armor, but they have their little heads poking out. So
yeah, but, I don't know.
You
they
ever seen
look
the
like
movie
the droids?
That movie, like what's it called? Big Six, Big Five, whatever. What they
Big Hero Six.
Yeah, that one. That's what they reminded me of, the way they walked from behind with the whole.
Their head reminded me of General Grievous.
Yeah.
You know, that, though, their heads suck out like that.
Their body reminded me of something from, like, the Dark Crystal.
Yeah, I mean, they looked real.
Yeah.
Like not CGI.
Yeah,
they,
it was obviously
they
real prop.
Yeah, yeah, so they had to use the costume. Yeah, these guys in costumes had to use, like, cameras to see their way, because they couldn't even see anything in front of them at all.
Damn.
So they had, like, a little video screen inside. It's kind of neat, I guess. But
that's probably real neat for back then, too. It's not like today where you have fucking screens that are flexible that you could, you know, put on shit.
Right.
But these creatures arrive and they say the world's coming to war. And it's 1914. They're saying that you have war coming.
It's bad news for you guys is what
so
they're
what
trying
they,
to get
what
at.
What are they talking about? That
something's going right. to come. Something's coming for
well,
them.
Well, I found out because I didn't see what time this started in when I was watching the movie again, you know, now that it's been so long. I didn't see what year it was or any of that, and I actually had made the comment. I'm like, what the hell are they talking about? What? It says war is coming, and don't worry, in 350 years or 300 years or whatever, we'll send it back to save you, whatever. But
they say 300 years, so
yeah.
The time thing's weird, too. Isn't it?
Yeah.
And then I realized that 1914 was the start of World War. World War One
yeah.
was the
Good
next
call.
Year.
Good call.
And then World War II was shortly after that.
Right. And so then the wars started. So that was the evil that was coming.
I saw that too, but then I was thinking, we were at war before that.
Yeah.
There was a Spanish-American War just 10 years before that, and then the Civil War.
But I don't think that they were worried about, you know, missiles and nuclear shit and things like that. Yeah, that the technology had brought.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they're in Egypt in this temple.
Or they're saying that you guys found it. So we need to get rid of it because you guys found it.
The
See,
professor
that's what
was
I thought
coming
it was more about
close.
That they had to get rid of it. You found this because well, that priest wanted to kill the.
Well, I thought it was. I thought it was more. You found this. Now that it's found, they're gonna come for it.
Well, but the priest.
That's how I.
The
took
priests
it.
Were put there that they were all taught from the priest previous and the one before
mm-hmm.
them and the one before
yes.
them to guard the elements, and they were taught about the elements and how it was supposed to work to help get rid of this evil that only comes every 5,000 years.
5,000.
And
yeah.
so within the next 300, the big evil was supposed to come. And when the, what are they called? The Madashawans? I don't know.
Mandoshawans.
When they came to take it back, they said, you know, evil's coming, or the wars are coming, and we need to get rid of it out of your land right now. Don't worry, in 300 years, when the great evil comes, we'll bring it back to protect you.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I assumed that they meant the wars were starting with technology advancing and.
But and then the doors close on that dude, and his hand stuck in there, and his hand gets crushed.
But he expelled the little finger key thing.
Yeah, but then later on, a hand comes in with Lulu.
I was
thinking that was the same hand
if
somehow.
If you saw though, yeah. when they took the
but
sarcophagus
that came
out,
from the spaceship though.
When they took the sarcophagus out though, when that
they did
floated
take everything
out. That was the same hand on that sarcophagus. And if you see too, in the sarcophagus when it was shown standing in the middle table, it had its head tilted all the way back and its mouth wide open.
Yeah.
When they reveal her in the tube, that's exactly her position.
Yeah, we'll get to that coming up soon. But so, yeah, that's,
I mean, those were things that I noticed.
I got questions about that, too. But so we forward, they say 300 years, that's what they say on the screen.
Right.
But there's.
But then it goes from 1914 to 2263, which is.
But then other people say it's 2259 or 2257. There's, like, Luc Besson's, or Luc Besson, his number's, like, different than what actual number says in the movie. And it's kind of, it's weird. It's kind of a random kind of movie time period, I guess. I guess it doesn't really matter, does it?
Not really. 300-ish.
I mean, the most interesting thing about this movie is that he was 16 when he started writing this.
Yeah, it was his kid project.
It was like a comic book type of a thing. And then he made it into a movie when he was, what, 30?
Older, 36.
Yeah.
We get to the future, future time, and Devo is the president.
Devo!
Which is totally throws you off.
I actually had to look up his name because I had no idea who he was other than Devo.
It's a Tiny Lister Jr., correct?
Tiny Tommy.
He's the president of the Federation of Systems or something like that?
Something like that, yeah.
Yep.
What do you think, 300 billion people or he's watches over? 30
billion?
Something like that.
30 billion, I think.
30 billion sounds right.
More right.
300 billion is a lot.
But he's getting the message back that a ship is following like this orb in space.
Yeah.
And the president kind of like, I don't know. Know where the priest shows up?
Yes.
Yeah.
The new priest, Vito...
Corleones. Something like that. He shows up.
Corleone.
And he's trying to tell the president, no, don't fuck with it. And the guy on the ship actually does fire on it a couple times.
Yeah.
And things don't go, but he starts bleeding, like, from the top of his skull, which is kind of weird.
Yeah, I didn't get that.
I can see bleeding out your eyes. Ears, nose.
Someplace where there's an orifice.
It's just, like, coming down their forehead. Like, it's coming out of their hairline. I will curse your hairline. But,
Vito Cornelius, that's his name.
Yes.
Cornelius.
But, and then the Mondeschwans, they try to deliver the elements back to Earth.
Right.
They're trying to bring the fifth element along with the stones and everything back. And they get ambushed by these two ships.
They're trying
to
say
the
their
weird
name.
Pig looking motherfuckers, I don't even know.
They're close to that. They're like the Mondo something.
They're like the Mandalores of the Boba Fett team. Mangalores, they're called.
Mangalore, that's what it is.
They're called the Mangalores. But they have two little ships that take out this big, huge, these fat robot dudes aren't good at building ships.
Well, they're obviously not good at protecting themselves either because Luke Perry's character shot one of them, the one that got his hand smashed in the wall.
Well, but it didn't kill him, though. He's kind of...
Well, it would have anyway, I think. He was.
Well,
yeah. I don't know. It was awkward. It was an awkward moment.
But then we wake up with Bruce Willis, the star of the show, and his blonde hair.
Yeah.
Frosted tips,
97, right back at it.
We're in his shitty apartment. He wakes up right away. He's got fish, he's got a cat, he's got this automatic cigarette machine.
Yeah.
That tells him to quit, but keeps on feeding him cigarettes.
Do
you know the cigarettes in the movie?
The white end, it looked like they were smoking them backwards. Like,
yeah,
the filter was this big.
There were, like, so much filter, and you get, like, four or five hits off the cigarette.
Yeah, that was
even the ones later
that
Chris Tucker fucking smokes. Speaking of him, he shows up on a TV commercial. They have a commercial playing for him.
Ruby Rose.
Yeah, talking about the trip. So, what do you think of his apartment? It's kind of strange.
I like the cool shit you see it do later on, but, I mean, initially it's... not really anything all that too special, in my opinion.
It's a single room.
Yeah.
But...
I mean, everything's in, like, a little compartment and pops down from spots.
You know what it
cool?
brings you back to? The nowadays of the small, tiny homes.
Oh, yeah.
It's like a tiny home.
But these things shoot in a different direction, so it has to take up a much bigger space.
Space, yeah. I was thinking that, too. I was like, well, it's
everything
going
somewhere. I mean, or else I've heard that some people say that he shares a refrigerator, and it goes to different floors.
Oh, that would suck.
Or share the shower, like, thing, too.
Could you imagine bringing the shower down to take a shower and your neighbor comes down with it?
He's in it? Yeah.
I'm pissed. It probably won't let you do that if someone else is in it already.
Well, but that was weird. You know, he brought, later on, he put Lulu in it,
the shower.
And brought her down, and it was...
It went automatic.
It was an auto wash.
Auto wash. Yeah.
Yep.
But Bruce Willis goes to leave, and he's approached by someone at the door. He looks at his people, and it looks fine. Or his camera. It looks fine, but there's a mugger out there. I guess he's a mugger. He's like a crackhead, some dude.
Yeah.
With a picture of, like...
The cutaway picture of the hallway, but it's not
like
the visor on his head.
So he holds his head down to kind of block it. And Bruce Willis has done this many times, it looks like, because he has a whole rack of guns.
Yeah.
And the other dude's shaking his boots, and Bruce Willis is being...
And he's like, you don't even have it loaded there.
Yeah.
Push the yellow button.
Tells him how to load it and everything. And what's he say?
What's he say about what?
Right before he takes the gun from him, and he's holding his gun sideways to his temple, basically.
Oh, I don't know, but what kind of ghetto does he live in where he's getting mugged like that? That often? Where he just opens the door and there's a dude standing there. And how did that dude stand there?
Yeah.
Did he know he was happening to leave then?
He looked like he was on some kind of drug.
Oh, he was shaking, you know what I mean? Yeah,
like he was like, I don't know.
He wasn't really committed to that robbery, at least.
No.
But Bruce Willis, I'm just going to call him Bruce Willis, even though his name's Dallas Corbin.
But a big thing about him, he was in the military.
Yeah.
So he was a major, right? Major?
Last one of his group, I guess. Last survivor.
Yeah. The only one alive.
Only survivor and the best one. He could fly anything. Like, later on, they show you the list.
He could shoot anything.
He was a former major in the Federated Army Special Forces. That's what I got here on him, yeah. And he has 5 points left on his taxi license. So we go back to the priest and Debo, and the priest is telling the president that this being is now awakened and is determined to come to Earth and destroy all life. He says the only solution is the light of creation. But if evil stands in the way, light turns to dark.
Okay.
I'm caught up.
You're caught up. The priest is sent home by the president, despite his pleas to stay, and just talks to him. This shows up, we get Brian James as General Monroe. You know
Brian James is? No.
He played the general dude that Lilu punched through the glass. He's the older guy. He died two years later of a heart attack. He was in Blade Runner, your favorite movie.
Oh, yeah.
He played the first cyborg that he runs into.
Oh, really?
That he gets in the fight with. Yeah.
But, you know, that guy...
He's in a lot of other movies, too.
That guy must have been a badass, though. I mean... Lilu punches him in the chest and takes the key and unlocks herself while the guy hits the ground. That's the last you see of him.
No, he comes back.
Until
he
knocks on the door, and then Bruce Willis sticks him in the fucking freezer, and he freezes, and he's like, yeah, I'm taking your trip, and he takes the tickets and he shuts the freezer again, and then he shows up at the end.
Yeah.
I'm like, what's this fucking guy's got like 9 lives?
But Brian James, his name is spelled weird. It's B-R-I-O-N.
Brian?
He is. I mean, it's not Brian. I always call him Brian. But he was in one of the 48 Hours movies. He's in a lot of those kind of things.
Yeah.
He's a good bad guy. Too bad he's dead. But he's in the lab, I guess, and they're recreating this hand using their testing the DNA, and they...
It looks like it was created, not born.
So somehow this hand, Manishawamon hand...
From the sarcophagus.
Turns into Mila Jovovich.
Mm-hmm. There's over 2,000, or was it 2 million DNA strands?
There's a lot.
I think it's a lot.
And,
I don't know.
And they said that...
they said it was a lot more.
In humans, there was only 40.
Yeah.
Of the mini tags. And in this one, there was 200,000 or 2 million. I mean, it was something outrageous. And so she could recreate herself, or they could recreate her with that hand. Well, everybody called it a him.
Yeah.
Until it was recreated.
But why was it a person? Why was it a human?
Maybe it's just humanoid.
I think they were trying to think of it as being some kind of maybe a robot type thing, but as they progressed it, you see it making... Excuse my burp.
But was it the hand of Manda Shawawa?
Yeah, but, I mean, they might be humanoid.
That hand was from the sarcophagus. It was what was on the side of the thing when they floated out past Luke Perry. That's what it looked like, and it was a straight thing with its head tilted all the way back with the mouth open, like, at the top.
Okay.
Its head was doing that, in case you couldn't
see. It looked like a Majwala hand.
No, it was, you have to look at it again. It was the sarcophagus hand. And so, from that...
Because that threw me off in the beginning. I was like, what the hell? But then you saw some boobs.
You did. You saw nipple.
Yeah, she's kind of flat, but... She's still cute, though. Mila Jovovich?
Yeah.
She's cute in this one. But she wakes up, and she has this whole other language that she speaks.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of neat, because that came from her Luc Besson. He created this language. And
is he French?
I don't think so.
Why do you keep saying his name like that?
I don't think Luc Besson is French at all. But he wrote this language, like 400 words or so. And...
She technically did, because she can speak four languages, and so he said he wanted to have some divine language.
So he wrote this out of...
She took bits and pieces from the other languages, too, though.
Well,
and
he wrote it most, and he kind of started it. He started writing it.
By the end
she
of it...
He might have helped out, but...
By the end of it, there was 400 words that those two could talk back and forth to each other and understand. Like, they made their own language.
Which is good, because she rattled this shit off like crazy.
Yeah.
She did great doing that, I thought.
It's pretty goddamn convincing.
Yeah, it sounds like she's speaking another language.
Yeah.
Which, and I love that...
And she talks really fucking fast, too, which is...
And she talks with conviction, like
yeah,
she knows what the fuck she's saying to you.
She's saying words, she's not babbling.
She's like, what the fuck don't you understand about what I'm saying?
But yeah, she busts
the hell
out of there.
Which nobody else understood.
She's like, what the fuck, no one understands.
Except for the priest.
Yeah.
He understood the divine language.
Yeah, that's weird.
Well, that's what he was taught, because he was the next protector.
Because she escapes from the... And... The lab, I guess it was called.
The pod.
Yeah.
The pod.
Whatever you
want
to call it. And she gets out and sees New York City for the first time.
And
question.
It's future New York City, so it's even crazier.
Question about the little pod thing. I know we're going backwards real quick, but
okay.
Did anybody else notice, like, they're like, oh, watch, it can detect its DNA and it can build from it. It was like picking up their hands. They were like, it looked like robotic hands that were picking up pieces from off to the side and linking them together. You would see it come back and forth real quick.
Okay.
And it was layering slices, like, and then you saw the head on either side, and one would pick up and lay down, and then the other one, until it made the skull type of thing. Like,
yeah, the way it kind of created the person.
Yeah, it was like...
It was good effects.
It was weird to me to look at it and be like, it's not really taking its own DNA, it was just building something from this hand. Like
from the DNA.
Yeah, well, from the hand. It wasn't even... Oh, here's a hand, let's go from there. And then it just built whatever the fuck it wanted to. It didn't really... But, I mean, that'd
also,
be cool medicine, though.
When she broke out, she also knew exactly what buttons to push to get out of there, too. She breaks the glass.
Yeah.
She,
well,
grabs
the way she
Brian
was
by
looking,
the nuts or whatever she did. I don't know what she
punched
did.
Him in the gut or
something.
I thought
she killed him.
I thought she grabbed his heart.
Yeah, I thought he was done.
But the way she was looking at the glass, she was going up and down it, and it was almost as if she was... Like, once you watch it two or three times, like I did... It was like she was looking for the weak spot in the bend, the curvature of the glass.
Oh, yeah, maybe, yeah.
So she was looking, like that's how smart she was. She was, okay, let's see, oh, right here, okay, that'll work,
bang.
And then pushed right through it. It was weird, but, yeah.
But she gets out and sees New York in 300 years. What do you guys think of that? Because that's the first time we see it, too.
Yeah.
As a viewer, I think it was.
Well,
I think it looked great because
proves the point that nobody really wants to stand on that fucking ground. It just like let's fly through the air around.
Yeah.
It. It's
well,
cool.
One thing they did with that effect, which I thought was really cool, is it's why it stands up and still looks good now is that it's a mix of special effects with standard effects.
Oh yeah.
They built that city.
Oh shit.
There, some of them like in a room, a whole room they took and they built all the buildings, and some of them are like 20 feet tall. You know, this whole room, this neighborhood of New York, and they had to go through digitally, like, do all the windows, and they said that was the worst part about working on the movie was doing every fucking window and what you can see inside the window and shit, make it look authentic.
Yeah,
but,
I bet, yeah.
But the actual buildings is real, which is pretty cool. I got,
And so this movie did have a good use of practical and CGI effects.
Yeah, they did.
They didn't go too heavy with the CGI shit, but
yeah,
it wasn't all practical.
You didn't notice the green screen.
Yeah.
Well, and the Manawanas, they looked like shit, but they didn't look bad.
They looked kind of stupid, in my opinion, but
the Mandalorians,
they
looked all right. They looked cool. They kind of remind me of Men in Black, which came out about the same
time. A little bit, yeah.
the same kind of feel.
Same time. Remember, I just said that.
Yeah, well, he just said that, too.
I said that?
All right. Slow your rolls, kids.
So, Lilo's out there. Her roots are shown pretty bad a lot in this movie.
The whole movie.
Well, I guess she changed into a wig sometime because her hair was falling out from the dye jobs every day.
You could tell.
But her roots are showing. I mean, it was, she's on that ledge and the wind's blowing through her hair, and you see these chunks of blonde down in there. It's like, come on.
I know,
Perfect Bean does not have roots like that.
Yeah.
If you notice when she was up on the rooftop or on the side there of the building, she actually had some dreads going on, like it was twisted. And at the end, when she's back in the tube, you could totally see the wig line back in her hair. Because you know how they try to take, for movies, they try to take some of your real hair forward and dye just that line of hair to kind of weave it into the actual full wig that they put on your head so that you can't tell that it's a wig. And, yeah, no, it was bad. It was one of those things where I looked at her hair and I was like, ooh, yeah, I remember having to dye my hair. First, you have to bleach it.
That's shit like every day.
Yeah, you'd have to bleach the shit out of it and then try to dye it.
And that's why she ended up getting a wig. But they should have did something else with it because if she's just a fucking punk rock chick, that's fine. But she's supposed to be a supreme being.
Yeah.
And it's like a supreme being has better hair.
Well, and you notice
blonde hair, blue eyes, man.
When they talked about her being a supreme being and how perfect she was, even when Bruce Willis's character was talking about, I met a girl that I'm going to marry one day.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
The first thing he says, though, is that, you know, she has the perfect skin, the perfect body, the bluest eyes. He never once says shit about her hair. Like, that's something you
her
add
hair?
To it.
That's something that you bring up later on. Like, honey, maybe just let your hair grow out.
Oh, that's rude. he never said that to me.
Danielle, maybe you should just let your hair grow out.
No, in fact, he tells me maybe I should cut it because it's so damn long and it gets into everything.
But Lilo, she takes a dive off the building and ends up meeting
Corbin Dallas.
Corbin Dallas falls right into his cab. And
as if it were fate.
Yeah, and Bruce Willis actually acts like it's fate because he like flirts with her like immediately.
Yeah,
he's not even like checking if she's fucking
alive
before he puts the fucking smile on and like the glitter, the little twinkle in his eye. He's like, hey, what's going on?
He does ask her if she's okay, and she's like starts screaming at him, and he's like, oh yeah, yeah, you're gorgeous, like, and that's it.
Yeah, they get the whole boom bada boom, and then they get to the point where the cops show up. Well, they're at McDonald's, which I thought was great.
Yeah.
With the chicks, the low cleavage, serving your McDonald's, golden meal he had?
Yeah.
The two golden meals?
Yeah, that's what it was.
But the cups were exactly the same. They haven't changed in 300 years.
Yeah.
The cups haven't changed one bit. You know?
Hey.
They're flying fucking cars, but still the same old fucking cup covers.
Let me see you improve the fucking cup.
The cover, though. I mean, like, even the cap and the straw kind of thing. That'll get changed.
Evidently
Why?
Not.
Why?
It will.
The fuck?
It's not like they fucking put them on right anyway.
Yeah.
It's changed in
They don't care if it works well.
They
care if
fuck.
It's cheap.
Yeah.
If they can find a cheaper way to do it, then okay, I'm with you.
But she falls through the top of his cab, and the next thing you hear is, you have just been in an accident. You now have one.
Yeah, they start taking Samaritans off his license.
Yeah. You have 1 point left on your license.
But so he's already given her up, and she all of a sudden can read English and reads, please help, for some
please.
Reason.
Help. Like she's got fucking downs and shit.
A little, yeah. But that could have said rape babies, and she could have read it, too.
Yeah.
Why? And she doesn't know what
she
it
just
means.
Happens to read the right word.
Yeah, yeah. I think below it said, call this number. Why?
Call this number. Yeah.
And Bruce would have been like, well, what number?
What? You're not reporting me, bitch.
It's bad. Now I've got the cops coming after me. But he ditches the cops. And he's got a nice little Google Map thing on his screen. I like that. Where it showed, like, where the alleys went and everything. And
Oh, on the thing on his screen. I thought you meant, like, he had an actual Google Map. I was, like, pretty sure I didn't see Google anywhere in this movie.
No, but it was something. It was like that.
I'm pretty sure this was the year Google was created.
But yeah, so. On his car, kind of.
Good for them if they're already in a movie.
Telling them which way to turn
and
shit. And telling them what was ahead and everything. Had everything all laid out. And that was pretty cool. It was like the old school Star Wars video game graphics. But
yeah. I was going to say, I like how they definitely kept computers for a purpose in this movie. Computers were never meant to be like a luxury playtime sort of deal.
He didn't have a phone on him.
Well,
he didn't carry a cell phone.
I was gonna say, all the futuristic technology they had seemed to be like driven, like a purpose driven, like
right.
flying cars. Extreme, targeting
and the
systems.
Cars only flew. They didn't go on
yeah.
the road. They were
they
you backed into a garage that like had a hook that went in the back and kept your car floating there
yeah.
for you.
But Lilo also says a few more words. She says priest and Vito Cornelius.
Yeah, which where does she get that from?
Yeah.
That's already programmed
that
in her mind, you know.
That I can give more than the please help one.
Yeah.
But speaking of phones, how does he find Vito Cornelius? Remember what he says?
A phone book.
Yeah.
Who the
already,
fuck uses a phone book?
Already 20 years after the movie. You
yeah.
can ask a fucking 12-year-old what a phone book is. They're like, what? Is that the manual that comes with my Motorola? You know? They don't know what a fucking phone book is.
The fuck buys a Motorola?
The Nokia's coming back.
Yeah.
I saw
they,
that.
They are bringing
I
it
know.
Back.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, but he gets it from a phone book, I guess, and he stops by and brings, he's still carrying her. She, I guess she's can't walk, but he carries
but
her in.
I don't remember what happened, of why, how
being,
she passed out or whatever.
Can't walk a
yeah.
lot, and there's a couple other scenes where
some a lot
people
of
say there's
me.
A lot of misogyny in this movie.
Yeah.
Because even though the woman is supposed to be a supreme being and a badass, she does kind of kick ass at the end. It's still, she's scantily clad throughout, all women throughout. There is no, like, really strong women that aren't, except for,
Inga or whatever
yeah,
her name
yeah,
was.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The one with the Princess Leia buns.
And she, yeah, and she's made for a joke, kind of. So.
And the, ticket lady at the, airport or whatever you want to call
she's
it.
She's
either.
Hanging out. She's.
But she is strong, and she is firm.
But she's dressed, yeah.
She's made to look pretty, though.
She's wearing the uniform.
She's dressed. She's dressed.
I'm just saying she's the only other example of
that's
a strong lady.
I'm not saying I agree. I'm just saying people have said that. So.
Well, no, it's true because she plays she plays the damsel in distress, yet she's supposed to be
this huge
the whole
yeah.
powerful
yeah.
almighty, you know.
But she's at the priest's house, and priest and his little buddy David?
Yes, that was the next one in training.
Yeah. Oh, is that what he is?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
He's next in line. He's the friar.
With his Devo hat on.
Yeah.
That was the best.
I like his little hat, yeah. Especially when we scramble to put it on whenever the priest comes home. Ooh, I can put my hat on. So they get the check now. They got Lilo. And they kind of kick Bruce Willis out.
Yeah, and they're like, thanks, bye-bye.
Yeah.
He pushes out. He gets so.
Well, he tries to kiss her first.
Oh,
he
yeah.
Right,
the kissing thing.
And she says something
the
to him.
Sexual assault.
Takes his
that
gun.
Was sexual assault. You can't kiss a girl when she's sleeping. Not anymore. Not these days, you can't.
I mean,
yeah, remember that.
Sleeping Beauty
I
did.
Do whatever I want with you.
No, you can't.
It's bullshit. If you walk up to a chick and she's sleeping in the woods, it's okay.
Then it's okay, yeah.
Did you see
so.
The commercials with the Sleeping Beauty? And the prince comes up and he kisses her and he waits a minute and she doesn't. And he kisses her again and he's like, ah, and he goes away and she, like, opens one eye, looks around, goes, is it gone yet? And she's watching TV, like, she's watching. She didn't want to be interrupted, so she was pretending she was still sleeping.
She can go back and watch Breaking Bad.
She's like, oh, thank God. I never thought, I thought he'd never leave. And all the animals, like, sit down and watch TV with her. Stupid commercials.
But that's also after she kissed her, she, like, knows what a gun is and everything, too.
She took the gun out of his hand and
yeah, knew how to use it. Yeah.
Yeah. And she said something to him, which, while he was leaving, he asked the priest, what does, and he
Ecto
said...
Ecto Gambit.
Yeah. And he's like, not without permission. Mm. And he's like, oh, I should have asked. Like, no shit, huh, Sherlock?
He gets back home, and his boss, Finger, calls him.
Finger.
Finger wants his cab back, and his cab's pretty fucked up, full of bullet holes and shit.
He said it was fine.
But Bruce Willis isn't talking about his cab, he's talking about this chick he meets. He, you know... Some chick falls in his cab, and he's, like, totally smitten with her.
Yeah.
It was almost kind of weird.
It's, yeah.
I didn't never bought this relationship at all throughout this whole movie between these two.
It's
even from the
it's
beginning,
not based
it's just,
on anything.
Yeah, it's... I
that,
dealt with drunk fucking hookahs in the fucking bar, and...
Drunk hookahs? What the fuck
I
are
think,
you talking about?
I think he was trying to say chicks, like hooligans and...
Hookers?
Hookers.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm not going to tell that story.
But you never fell in love with any of them?
No, not at all.
Well, I did. I just couldn't afford her.
I got $5.
She needed 20 bucks every 5 minutes. He's like, I can't keep doing this. I can't.
I got $5 more. I got enough to buy 2 hot dogs.
Oh, I told you that story, didn't I? Yeah.
You got to go.
I got $5. I get you some head. Yeah. Get you some. That's enough. Here's some money.
Almost enough.
Yeah. Your dick tastes good. That's what she told me.
Dick tastes like strawberries. Got any more money? Dick tastes like shit.
What's that? I said, you want us looking for free? She said, no. Like, okay.
Good enough to get a freebie?
Ain't no dick that good, bitch.
Not that good, sweetheart.
Hey, she was a nice girl, all right.
She's a fucking hooker.
She was a hooker in Vegas, though.
Oh, yeah. Oh. That means she meant it when she said she liked
Vegas.
You.
I was in Vegas. After he came up, I had a couple hooker in Vegas.
Hey, Jason.
Come on.
Jason, your dick tastes great.
Hey, thank you.
I said it with as much conviction as she did.
And he believed you, too.
No, she was already leaving. Yeah,
for the record, I've never had a dick in my mouth.
Liar.
I said my mouth.
All right, let's reel it in.
Oh, you guys are so stupid. Anyway...
So Lilo's going through the files. They have, like, some kind of massive super Googler that she just goes through.
Every letter. It's like the dictionary, but online.
It's like,
Did you see the size of the fucking computer monitor? It was like the ones for the first fucking apples from fucking school.
Apple IIe kind of
thing. With the fucking green screen and the flashing rectangle when you type shit in. I'm like, you know...
Well, but this is like a priest's office. Maybe he has something old. He doesn't really have a lot of money, you know.
300 fucking years.
There might have been a decline.
I would believe that now. If it was right now in 2017, and he still had a shitty computer like that, I would believe it.
But
300 fucking years
from
now?
They had better computers in Back to the Future.
Thank you.
That was a movie.
So is
this. This is also a movie.
Yeah, but this is real life.
Oh, my God.
Hey, Trump is president, okay? Oh. Anything can happen. We could be using Apple IIe's in 300 years.
Oh.
We might not have flying cars, but...
I mean, plants do crave electrolytes.
That's true.
So she learns all about everything, and you see her, the main one that she starts learning about is martial arts. Which comes in handy later on.
Of course it does. I was going to say there's a bunch of movies that, I don't know, either stole from that or took variations of that.
How to do something.
Of course, the only ones I can think of happened after this movie.
Right.
You know, The Matrix, when he does all the, you know, inserting all the different
cards,
all that shit. And then most recently in, like, Age of Ultron, the one Marvel Avengers movie.
Oh, the Ultron dude, yeah.
Yeah, and he, like, once he gets connected to the internet, he looks everything up and he's like, oh, humanity's a piece of shit. We gotta go kill humanity.
Yeah.
Lucy.
I haven't seen that.
Oh, then I won't.
That's a Luc Besson movie as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he did that one. He's got a new one coming out this summer. It looks pretty good. It's about the comic book that Star Wars stole a bunch of shit from, so.
No.
From, like, 1969 or.
69, that was good.
Valerian, I think it was called.
The other
Valkyrian?
Thing that you...
No, there's an L in there. Valerian.
I said Valkyrian.
Is that a comic book?
That is a comic book.
Is it a space thing?
Can I finish?
I think, I don't know. Yes, sorry.
Guys, back to the movie. The other thing I was going to laugh about was how Lilu kept eating chicken. She ate that whole fucking chicken.
She must have, because she got a second one.
Yeah, and then she said, chicken good. And it's weird.
She is pretty cute.
Because that microwave thing, it had, like, she cleared off the plate, put the plate down, opened up this canister of stuff, and sprinkled something onto the plate, put it into what looks like a microwave, hit a button.
for like 2 seconds.
And then pulls out a whole fucking like chicken with sides and shit. Like it's got potatoes and carrots and
parsley sprinkled on
top.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, that's the thing I miss from like those the old cartoons where they used to have like the homes of the future.
Oh, yeah.
And you'd have like the little pill that you dropped a drop of water on and the whole fucking meal popped
and
up.
And your whole meal, just made the table and you dropped it and everybody's place was set.
Everybody had a glass of wine. It was
my favorite was the Cars of the Future.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, those were good
ones. Where they put the glass bottom so you could see the look on the people's faces when you hit them. Or the mother-in-law cart
on the
back.
The back. Yeah. The Jetsons had good food, too, because that was pretty easy for them. They had a very similar thing. They just put the thing.
Oh, yeah. Ding.
Yep. Came right out, so.
Made by Rosie, the robot.
She had too much around there.
I mean, they all seemed pretty clean, so.
Neither did anybody else on there. I'm not sure what they all did.
Well, Mr. Jetson, he worked for SpaceX Rockets, right?
But anyway, Father...
George.
Vito
Cornelius.
I
couldn't think of his fucking name.
George.
I was going to say Greg, but I was like, that's wrong. You're going to sound like an idiot.
I couldn't think of the mom's name, and I'm like, is it June? Jane?
Jane,
his wife. Judy, Jane,
Elroy. And...
Astro.
Yeah, George and Astro, yeah.
Yes.
All right, so Cornelius learns from Lilu that the four elements were not carried on the Manishawan's ship, but instead they were given to Diva... I'm going to try this. Plava Laguna.
Okay.
I got it.
That's
Plava,
a thing.
Plava Laguna. She's the singer. And she's performing on a luxury space line at the Folsom Paradise.
Try to pronounce the woman who played her's real name.
Oh, we got to talk about her.
Maiwen. M-A-I with the two dots over it. W-E-N-N.
Do you know about her? She married the director when she was 15, or she hooked up when she was 15. He kind of based the relationship. He did The Professional, the old movie with John Reno and Natalie Portman.
Yeah.
She's a year older
than
me. Same
director did this. He based his relationship kind of on that movie. He based the movie on her relationship. Because he met her when she was 15. Got married when they were 16. And then she didn't want to be into the movie. She's like, no, we shouldn't work together. Oh, we need somebody. We need you to come in and play this opera chick. She comes in and plays the opera chick. He dumps her, hooks up with Mila Jovovich. And they got married for a couple of years.
Damn.
You didn't know that part?
No, I didn't hear that part. Damn.
So Luke Benson, he's been married like 4 times now. So he gets around a little bit. What do you think, Justin?
What do I think about what?
Talk. My computer's not working.
Okay. anyways, I thought this movie was pretty good and stuff. Are we at the gun part yet?
Not yet.
Damn it.
Because at this point, we haven't even introduced the bad guy yet.
Okay.
So, the guy...
We should take a break.
Oh, okay.
We should take a break here and then come back and... I really fucking gotta pee.
Well, you heard it from the horse's mouth, bro.
So we'll be right back. What? You got something to say? Oh, yeah, something to say there, Danielle.
Hi, folks. We're back again.
There you go.
Sorry, we had to take a quick pee break there.
Yep.
But we're back. Let's talk about the fulfillment. And where are we at? We're at finally, we get the introduction of our villain of the movie.
The antagonist.
Jean-Baptiste Emmanuel Zorg. Who is played by the legendary...
The legendary?
Gary Oldman. I'll try his name.
I was waiting for you to say...
Thanks. Thanks for saving me there.
I was waiting for you to say Commissioner Gordon, honestly, but...
Oh, yeah, that was later. But he's... Gary Oldman was one of my favorite actors.
No, he's
back
in
then.
Everything.
This one, though, I don't know. I didn't really... What do you think
this
about
is,
him?
This, I don't know. If you're talking about Gary Oldman roles, this is the one I always overlook. Like, I always forget that this is even him. You know what I mean? I don't know. It's...
I love the accent.
He plays the character
I hate
great.
The accent.
Yeah, I know.
He plays the character great. I'm not a fan of the character,
I hate the
but
teeth
he plays
thing
him great.
He's got going on.
Yeah.
He's got like, the fake teeth in the front. He's a little smirk. I don't like that on him. And I love fucking Gary Oldman. True Romance.
Yeah.
He was fucking Drexel, the fucking pimp. Remember that? That was fucking great. he was in The Professional as the bad guy then. He was the bad cop. He did all kinds of great shit. He was Air Force One. He came out the same year. He was a bad guy there. He did good stuff.
I forgot he was in Air Force One.
He did some stuff in Harry Potter, too. He was Sirius Black in there. He, of course, you said James Gordon in the Christian Bale trilogy.
Christopher Nolan trilogy.
Yeah, I guess that's what we're going to be calling it.
Whichever one you want to call it.
One or the other.
Same fucking thing.
But he's been...
He also played Sid Vicious, but whatever.
Well, yeah. Oh, yeah. One of his earliest roles, yeah.
Forgot about that one,
In 1986, he was Sid Vicious. Yeah. That was a great, great role. But yeah, Gary Oldman, I think he's awesome. I love him and everything. This movie, though, is one of my least favorite performances by him, though, I think.
See, like I said, I think it's a really great performance by him, but I don't like the character. But he's really easy to hate, so...
Well, a bad guy, you're supposed to hate, but you don't really
hate him. Yeah, but there are some bad guys that are easy to hate. There are some bad guys that are hard to hate. You know what I mean?
You don't like this guy because of his bad fashion and the bad accent.
I just don't like him. I don't like.
I don't like his hair.
Yeah, I don't like his hair.
And the accent seems to come and go, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's really weird. Yeah. It's
some
like,
parts where it's really southern, which
it's like propane and propane accessories.
I bet you if we watch it, there's something in there where he only has the accent when he's around the Mongoloids or whatever the fuck their name is.
Some shit like that.
You know what I mean?
But I guess he's the owner of the cab company because he...
He owns a lot of stuff, evidently. Zorg Enterprises owns like everything because he said you have to lay off 500,000 people, and he's like, lay off 1 million.
So we're talking cab drivers, though.
Well, they said of anything, and the other guy said, I was thinking the cab company, the lower people.
Yeah.
So he must own a lot of shit.
Well,
he's probably the Trump of their day.
Right.
Whereas, I don't even know what I own.
Well, this guy's evil, though.
But
anyway.
That's a drink right there.
Okay.
Last time I checked, it was still legal to say bad things about the president. So
far. Well, this isn't published yet, so we'll see by then. Yeah, give it a week.
We'll get a call.
I think Trunk will...
Trunk?
I think Trunk will do an okay job. I also think Trump will hopefully not murder everyone, so that's a plus.
It wouldn't be his fault anyways. Just ask him.
Well, so the lizard people and Zorg...
Hey, I'm one of the most interesting people you'll ever meet.
Zorg,
just ask him.
With the help of the lizard people, are trying to get these stones back.
The pig people.
They're lizardy.
They're weird.
They're more pig
than
lizard.
Their skin is like lizardy.
Yeah, but they look like pigs.
Kind of facial features, I guess, a little bit.
And then they got them weird ears, but...
They got weird ears, but, yeah.
They got them weird ears.
Anyway,
never thought that's a sentence I'd say.
They gotta get the stones, and we go back to the priest's house where they're getting Lulu dressed. And
I did not see Mick Jagger once in this movie.
We get another boob shot.
Another nipple shot.
No, we can see her in the background. She's changing. You see her topless.
Yeah, but it's.
Are you saying she has no boobs? What you're saying?
I'm saying you see a nipple.
There's some boob. There's a little boob.
She could turn around and. If you just whited out the nipple, I wouldn't know.
She is not a 13-year-old boy.
Either are you.
Hey.
Your boobs are as big as hers.
Exactly. I got boobs, so she got
boobs. And Justin Time just looks down and grabs his boob, and he's like,
Yeah.
Like, no, mine are bigger.
mine are probably about the same size as hers.
So you're not a Mila Jovovich fan?
I am.
Well, she's hot as hell.
Yeah, she's hot. Yeah. I like her a lot more later on. I don't think... Fifth Element Mila Jovovich is really that hot.
Okay.
But like Underworld Mila Jovovich is pretty fine.
Is that the Resident Evil?
Yeah.
The same shit. It's all whatever.
Is that Resident Evil though?
She in both of them?
She's in Resident Evil Extinction, Afterlife, Apocalypse.
She's in all the Resident Evils. Isn't she also in the Underworld ones?
I thought that was Resident Evil Underworld.
There's another one. There's another film series that she's in that's like the same fucking movies.
Ultraviolet?
No, that's a pretty good movie, though. It's about vampires and shit in the future.
No, Justin. She was in Resident Evil Apocalypse, Resident Evil Extinction, Resident Evil Afterlife, Resident Evil Retribution.
Then what's the one I'm thinking
Resident
of?
Evil, the final chapter.
What's the one I'm thinking of where it's like the vampires versus the werewolves, and no, it's say fucking Twilight.
Blade?
Not Blade.
I totally was going to say Twilight.
I saw you look up. I knew what you were going to say.
I don't know.
This was not Mila Jovovich. This is someone else, I think.
Anyway.
Some chick. There's another chick that looks pretty much just like her, then.
Like Underworld. But there isn't a Resident Evil Underworld. There's something else.
There's like Underworld Extinction. Underworld.
Yeah,
something
there's
other.
Something. But hold on. Let me punch this up here. See what I can find. Underworld. That's drunk film commentary at yahoo.com.
Go ahead and email us if you know the answer to our problem. We haven't gotten an email yet, so I'm assuming I'm right.
Oh, we've got a lot of emails.
Oh, Underworld Blood Wars?
The Underworld film series.
That's Kate Beckinsale.
There we go.
Whatever, they look the same.
No, they don't.
I'll give it to you.
Thank you. Cut off their heads.
I had no idea. It could have been the same person to me. Yeah, I had no idea.
Sorry.
So, anyway.
I made myself laugh.
So they get her dressed. Zorg is showing off his gun to the Mangalores, his new ZF-1, which can do a lot of things.
It's the greatest gun I've ever seen.
It's a pretty badass gun.
And the flamethrower, my personal favorite.
What about the ice thing? It had the rocket launcher and the arrow shooter.
And it all and goes into the same area.
Yeah.
That I liked. He turns around and shoots backwards.
But shortly after,
He says that it's got like the auto. It's got the auto aiming feature or whatever.
He says.
And our patented net.
What?
The patented net.
The net, yes. But the priest ends up coming into Zorg's office.
Well, not coming in.
Well, yeah.
Not by choice, anyway.
He's brought in, yeah.
He enters.
The men come to the priest's house and take him and bring him before Zorg. And Zorg has this whole speech he gives about progress and how to actually stimulate an economy.
Uh-huh.
Which was kind of interesting.
While he's sitting in his Trump Tower.
Justin, you need a break?
Justin might be dying. I'm not sure.
Here, have some whiskey and 7-Up.
I'll be okay without that. No, and that's ginger ale in there.
Oh, yeah, whiskey, that's even better.
No, you can't have any now.
He totally took it back. He's like, oh,
He did. Like, if you were going to, like, offer, like, something to a wild animal, but then it spooked you, so you brought it back to your chest real fast. As soon as I said it's ginger ale, oh, that's even better.
There's not a lot of ginger ale left.
Yeah. Can't have any.
Hey,
it's good. All right, so Zorg wants the stones, and you don't see why he wants the stones at first, but as they're talking about it, he starts talking about progress. And
that's a good speech.
And building forward, and now these robots...
He knocks the glass off a guy.
Yeah.
And the little robots come out to clean it up, and he's like, see?
Everything's got a purpose.
If we don't destroy things, then these people have nothing to do.
And then he chokes.
That all the people and all the engineers couldn't fix this.
Which is funny, because that is kind of how America kind of has worked. You know, we do the wars, and all of a sudden everything gets stimulated, gets boosted, and, you know...
Everybody gets a job all of a sudden.
Yeah, yeah.
Purpose-driven economy.
But what's also cool is we see Gary Oldman's his office. You see all of his little goofy shit. Does he starts choking on that cherry pit. And then he starts just hitting the buttons in panic, just hitting whatever. Yeah. And you see all kinds of shit, like fly up and, you know, a shirt rack. And
yeah, it's all kinds of stupid shit.
His Rolodex where CDs go flying out of it.
And you see
which, why, if you're just pressing the button, would it just shoot everything out? Do you want that to happen every time you open it? You want the shirts to fly off the rack?
Right?
When he first opened it, it popped up, and then it started spinning, and then it started shooting him out. But my part that I like is when the priest starts, like, walking around the desk while he's choking, and he's like, and so which one of your little gadgets is there to pat you on the back when you need a good patting? And he's still choking, doing the sign of pat me on the fucking back.
I like when the door opens and you see what I can best describe as the Flintstones garbage disposal monster.
Yeah.
This
he's sitting there right there on
just
the ground. Yeah.
He's sitting there like, hello.
And he's so he's cute.
The, he is pretty
he's,
cute. But
yeah,
he's
like all pink and he's got the elephant
yeah.
thing. Yeah,
well,
the trunk.
It's 11.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what you expect him to say.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because he's just kind of hanging out there. And he looks pretty CGI. But so we go back to the president. He's this orb is sucking all these satellites in the galaxy. It's going crazy.
Well, we didn't mention that the priest finally saved him.
Oh, yeah. Well,
the priest pats him on the back.
He smacked him on the back,
yeah.
knocked it out of his mouth.
Cherry pit out of his
and
mouth.
And that's where you enter the Flintstones dinosaur, whatever.
Getting hit in the eye
and
with the cherry pit.
And then he says, you saved my life, so I'll spare yours. Get out of my sight or whatever to the priest. And
well, I think that's what he says,
which
though.
Why the priest
you're
didn't
a monster.
Die.
He's like,
I know. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, then he went into, like, a Liberace voice. It was awkward.
Yeah. Poor Gary Oldman, I love you. Come on. And I loved it when this movie came out, and that's what kind of knocked me down when I first saw this movie, when it first came out, was like, ugh, because he was so not as cool as I wanted to be.
Yeah.
Gary Oldman should be cooler than that. This guy was not very cool. But we go back to Bruce Willis, Corbin Dallas, and he's having lunch at his window. How about that?
I like that.
Badass,
like
huh?
That.
Yeah.
I want a food truck to come right up to my fucking window every fucking
yeah,
day.
That'd be
great.
Nice.
And
yeah.
they stay there until you're done eating. Like,
yeah, that's what I thought was
more.
I was the craziest. I could understand like a you know, a guy
drop
that comes
off.
By, hey, you want any food? No? Okay. Going on to the next building.
Yeah.
Hey, you want any food? No? Okay.
Or you think, right. actually, when you think realistically, it would be, you would order it on your phone and it would come up. And a drone would come up to your window.
Well, they don't
to
have
drop it off.
They don't have phones then. Remember?
Well, they have phones. They just don't
not
have
not
cell.
Like our phones. That's
but,
what I'm saying.
Yeah, but
it's weird. Sometimes you see phones with cords in this movie.
Yeah,
he did tell the cat that he was sorry that he forgot his food, her food, and that he was going to call for Thai food, and then he's sitting there eating Chinese food.
And he gets a call from his mom. Which
yeah,
this
oh,
part of the movie I didn't
yeah, and he
see,
gets the
right?
message, and he's like, oh, the last two messages I answered were...
One was my wife leaving
yeah.
me, and the other one was my lawyer leaving me with my wife.
Yeah. And he's like, so I'm done answering these things.
Like,
oh,
like,
it could,
no answer.
Could be your lucky day. Oh, you fired.
He bets him lunch,
yeah.
though, and he's like, well, I won lunch. And he's like, see, good way to think
but
of it.
But there's a second message he gets shortly after that.
Yes, but he didn't answer that.
That was that he won this trip.
Yeah,
but the other guy, what's his name? Not the major,
General Monroe.
Yeah, that one. He showed up at the door.
Oh, this is after he got the phone call from his mom saying he was the winner.
Yeah, he's like, "What are you talking about? If I won something, I would know about it."
And then all of a sudden,
he gets a message through. His name's on the radio in the background, and the general knocks on his door like 2 seconds later.
Everything happens boom boom in that apartment. Like when he woke up, it was like everything boom boom. Music's on, you know, cats fucking meowing, cigarettes are dropping out of the sky.
Yep. It's got Chinese men on the window, like, hey, you ready?
But, General Monroe shows up.
There.
And he actually uses the line, you have been selected for a mission of utmost importance to save the world. Which is pretty fucking cheesy, you know, put some cream cheese on that shit, and that's fucking good to fucking go in any fucking movie. But they want him because Bruce Willis, he's an expert at weapons. And he's the only one left alive from his unit, so...
And he can fly anything. That was that fucking list that he pulled out.
Yeah,
he
had this whole list
of
his skills, yeah.
He's like, you're the best of the best, and this is the things you can fly, and the guns you can use.
So he's
and
John
the,
McClane in the
23rd
century.
Yeah.
But he's assigned Major Iceborg, who's going to accompany him as his wife. And how about those Princess Leia buns, that chick?
Yeah, they were pretty good.
You mentioned that earlier,
that
too.
That was, holy hell, them
that
things
like,
were... That's like if I did Princess Leia buns with my thick ass hair. It would not look pretty. It would just be fucked up.
But Dallas is all about this wife he has. He's so infatuated with this chick.
Like, that just fell into his fucking taxi.
Was that his first chick he had in his cab in fucking 10 years?
Apparently.
Because he just immediately falls in love with her, it seems like. But she appears at the door and he sees her on the monitor. Now he wants to get rid of these army guys. And we know that the army guys would know her from the lab.
Right.
But how does Bruce Willis know that? Why does
he
want to... He
doesn't know that, but he knows that she's wanted by the police. So hiding her from the army people,
mm-hmm.
who
makes
probably
sense.
Know that somebody is wanted from the police.
Yeah.
So
and it's not like she looks like everybody else.
Right.
Okay.
So he then shoves the army guys and chick
Yeah,
into the freezer.
Into the fridge. Like, you see him open the door, and then he...
There's no food in there?
No, well, nothing. No, look at him. I mean, he's a bachelor.
But it goes up and down. Isn't it a shared fridge?
It's not shared, evidently.
So there's just blank spaces in between the
floors,
I guess?
I'm guessing.
Why can't you just use that for...
More living space? Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
But, so he...
I'm no architect.
He puts everybody into the refrigerator, what looks like a refrigerator, because it looks like he's slapping the shelves out of it.
But maybe, yeah.
He was slapping the shelves out of it, and then he shoves them all in there. And then it goes down, so the shower comes down, and then he puts...
The same slot, right?
Yeah, the same area.
Right,
so
on
the
top
fridge
of each
goes
other.
Down, the shower comes... Fridge goes down, shower comes down from the upstairs area.
See, the space above and below you both open.
Right.
Or you're sharing a shower and a fridge with somebody.
Right.
With the person above and below you.
Huh.
But then how far down does it go for the guy below you to get the shower?
Long enough.
It's got to go at least one apartment below then. At least
no,
that
it
width.
Would go one shower. The shower went up. The fridge went down.
Yeah, but I'm saying, okay, if you're sharing it with, if you're sharing the fridge and the shower... With the guy above you and the guy below you.
That's the thing, you're not. You're sharing your fridge with the guy below you. You're sharing your shower with the guy above you. You're not sharing all of them.
Okay, all right.
No.
I guess that makes sense.
Yeah. So.
In its own
way. He puts everybody in the fridge and sends them down.
So they can go hang out with Rick.
Right. And then Mila comes in, and there's a police raid. So she's got to go in the shower. So she goes up, which would mean that the refrigerator was back aiming at him.
In the spot it should be, yeah.
But apparently they couldn't get out because then he had to put his hands up on the wall.
Well, apparently in this reality...
It's weird because they were looking for Corbin Dallas, but they grabbed someone else.
Well, they found his name tag outside the nameplate or whatever, the number plate on the neighbor's door.
Isn't that where Lilo and the priest found him?
She walked up to the door and she pulled it out of...
She saw it.
She pulled it off of off of his tab.
Yeah.
But I don't know how or why it
the
went to the neighbor.
Say they're looking for Corbin Dallas and they come in the building.
Yeah.
They come in, they say they're looking for Corbin Dallas, but then they grab some other dude and they...
Well, they didn't say that they were looking for him. They said this must be him because there's no name on the tag, or there's no name.
But they said his name before that.
No, they did not.
Yeah, I noticed it today when we were watching it. They said his name.
I watched it twice, I didn't notice that.
They do.
When they were first coming in the building, they said they're looking for Corbin Dallas. They said his name.
I didn't notice it until they said right here it says his name, Corbin Dallas.
At first, I thought it was just a total audience throw-off thing where they're like, oh, the police are coming. Oh, no, they're coming from a different dude. The whole thing was like against a different dude. And when I saw it again, no, they come in, they say Corbin Dallas. So somehow he changed his apartment number to be a different number?
I was going to say is that little slip of paper that got tucked behind the apartment number next to his or whatever.
Yeah.
How the fuck did that end up there? Because it has his name on it.
Right.
And none
it's
of
the
other...
taxicab card.
None of the other apartments have it. For some reason, it's just randomly up there, and the dude was being a spazzo, so he ends up getting put in a bag anyways.
Shaving with a knife.
Yeah.
And he's just like, fuck you, I'm about to put my hands on the fucking...
Smoke this!
You gotta think living with those circles on the wall, because that shows up multiple times in the movie, those circles on the wall
thing. Yeah, put your hands in the yellow circle, otherwise you die. That's basically what it is.
Yeah.
That seems like something that might possibly be something we're going to see.
It may happen.
It's not an out-of-this-world thing.
They end up taking the wrong guy. They take the neighbor, and...
They say he's arrested for your uranium smuggling.
Right.
It's weird.
Which, that is what the guy was arrested for, but that's not Corbin Dallas.
Yeah. I think they were trying to trump up charges to...
For a reason.
Yeah, just... That's probably their version of, you were selling weed. You know what I mean, in the future.
But the Mangalores think they took Dallas. So they take on the police, and they take the man in the bag. They think that's him. And what happens? Oh, then we go back to the apartment, and the priest is shrink-wrapped in the bed, which is kind of funny. You know, he comes out. But Lilo is... the water's
she
cold.
Went on
Why
the,
is water cold?
She
it's
went
auto
in
wash.
The auto wash.
Yeah, but auto wash, it should be warm water.
You would think so, yeah, because if you're going
if
auto
anything,
wash.
Anything, she should have burns.
Well, the thing is, it's not... Okay, so here's what my conclusion was with that.
Mm-hmm.
When it goes up, it's self-washing the shower. So it doesn't have to be...
So it shows...
Oh,
like,
auto wash
when it's down,
cleaning.
He's in the shower. He controls the temperature. When it goes up, it's cleaning itself real quick. When it goes up.
Oh,
so,
as it's going between floors?
Right.
Auto wash is...
So it went on
so
auto
wash.
So
it's like driving through
out.
The car wash.
Well, it's like... You remember those old spray shower things? Like, you'd put it on your shower head. When you get out of the shower, you'd push the button, close
yeah.
the curtain, and it would... spray that, like, scrubbing bubble shit
yeah.
so clean.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like that. That's what I imagined it to be like. I mean,
for
you
sure.
know, in the 5 seconds I watched it.
For
today.
Sure. That makes sense.
So, like, it self-cleaned the shower before the next person got in.
That makes sense.
But then, so she comes out of that, and he gives her a towel. She then says, Cornelius, and he goes and opens the bed.
Yeah, because he's shrink-wrapped, because it somehow it, like, automatically it,
yeah,
gives you clean, fresh sheets every
yeah.
day.
Yeah,
yeah, it shrink-wraps your sheets when you tuck it
well,
away.
It looks like it's a new bed.
Well, he pushes it in all messy, and then it comes out all clean.
Perfect.
And, you know, made, and then it's got the priest on top.
You would have thought that it would have been made over the priest, then.
If anything made over, yeah, I was going to say, if not,
oh,
the
yeah.
priest getting
true.
Murdered.
Yeah,
but.
How's the blanket? Wow.
Yeah. I didn't.
Good call,
I didn't. But I didn't recognize that the bed was a mess when he laid him down in it at all. Because I thought he just pulled it open.
Oh, I mean,
yeah,
it's not
it
super a mess because it's not like he had crazy wild sex the night before mess. But it was he hopped out of bed mess.
But he put it in, it reset itself, it came back out. It was made already when he
yeah,
came back out. And put
made.
Him on it.
Oh yeah, you're right.
So,
he put him on
yeah.
a made bed.
And then it put plastic wrap
yeah,
over
there
it
go.
Again,
okay.
like a second layer.
So we answered our own question. Look
so,
at that.
But, well, in that scenario, good then, job, but wouldn't it, how would it know that the bed's a mess and not just to change all the sheets?
That's what I'm saying. I don't think it
oh,
changes the
yeah.
sheets. I think it just wraps it in saran wrap to keep
but
it
no,
fresh.
But no, but he
but
pushed, he, when he pushed it in the first time, before the priest
remade.
Got there,
yeah.
it made the bed for
well,
him.
The priest would have been in some kind of peril.
Yeah.
Some kind of machine's been poking
yeah,
him.
He would have been in some sort of mangler. I don't
well,
know.
He kind
of
still was, because he was suffocating with saran wrap
yeah,
on
yeah, well, that's probably terrifying.
So he went and opened him up. And
but
then
the priest fucking knocks out fucking Dallas,
well,
takes his fucking
yeah.
tickets, you know, hits him with his own fucking award that he got,
yeah.
yeah.
knocks his
he
ass
did,
out.
He said a prayer before he did it. It's cool. It's all good.
Not a good
he did the name of the Father. Son,
and he
Holy
gets to
Spirit.
The airport with Lilo and his buddy, little buddy David, and he's going to try and pass off David as being Lilo's husband, and they're going to go out as Dallas, Corbin Dallas.
And guest.
Except Corbin Dallas woke up and
woke up and was obviously no stranger to being knocked out.
Right.
He woke up like, grabbed the back of his head, like, oh yeah, I just got knocked out. Stood up, let's go.
Well, that's Bruce Willis, though.
Yeah.
Well, and then he opened up the freezer, fridge, or whatever, and everybody was frozen, but he grabbed the
yeah.
tickets and he said, I'll gladly accept your offer, and then he left.
But no, he didn't have the tickets.
He took the
army people had that little ticket in their
yeah.
pocket, and that's when he opened it and grabbed the other, or the itinerary?
Yeah, it was the itinerary.
Maybe that's what it was. But he grabbed the plastic
part,
thing.
Okay.
Yeah, he grabbed
yeah, he
it
grabbed
and he
grabbed
said, I
out of
accept.
Because it's weird, because when he gets shoved into the fridge, he's not holding out the itinerary.
Right.
He gets shoved in there.
Okay.
And then it's like he froze holding
the
itinerary.
He's like holding it up like
yeah.
in his chest pocket, almost like, hey, it's right here. All right.
But
all so right. then he grabbed that, and he's like, I gladly accept. And he left, and he went there.
To the airport. So the airport has this big pile of garbage.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which was so weird.
Well,
yeah.
I guess that was a subplot that Luc Besson had.
I love that he thinks he's fucking French.
He is fucking French.
I asked you earlier, was he French? He's like, no.
His name's Luc Besson. How can he not be fucking French?
Did I not ask him?
Yeah, I said no because
your name is Gaston Heaven.
You're
Luc Besson. Anyway,
his name is
Daniel Maurer.
His name could be Besson. You don't know.
It's not Besson. It's Besson.
It could be Luc Besson for
Luc
all the
Besson.
Fuck you know.
Anyway,
he could be from fucking Kentucky.
He was originally had a part in his story about how the garbage workers are on strike, and he had a bunch of robots set up that were gonna like alien robot kind of looking creatures that he had designed. Yes, I told you he was from fucking France. He's a fucking French director. Luc Besson.
Why would you admit that?
I'm sure most of our listeners
I'm still drinking.
Know Luc Besson is fucking French. Anyway, there was supposed to be a garbage.
Oh yeah, they're all Luc Besson fans.
So that's why the airport is fucking filled with like a huge pile of fucking garbage, which comes in handy for the gunfire later. But where am I here? The priest. Yeah. So they get on the fucking plane. You know, Dallas and fucking Lilu. Lilu Davis multi-pass.
But you missed the part where everybody tried to beat him.
Just say every fucking scene. No, they come afterwards, actually. Where everyone shows up after they get on. Because first David and Lilu try to get on, and then Corbin Dallas shows up, and he gets on. And then the other guys try to get on, and everyone's trying to get on. God damn.
And then the chick says, no way. You guys gotta not
multi-pass.
Keep using the same guy's name.
Multi-pass.
I've already had this guy get on the fucking airplane twice. And it's not an airplane, it's
think
a space
about this.
Plane.
So the space plane has this button.
I love that we're calling it a space plane.
It is.
It's a spaceship. It looks
it's
like
a
fucking
plane.
Apollo 12.
It's a space plane that the priest rode in the fucking cargo hold, like the fucking flight fucking gear, landing gear.
Like the
in
dogs in Homeward Bound 2.
In space, at light speed.
Nothing happened to him.
He was fine. He just rode in the fucking landing gear. It was like,
it's fine.
Oh, no.
It's cool.
We're
it's
going
cool.
to the galaxy. It's fine.
It's like stowing away in a cargo ship.
Exactly. It was fine.
Oh, yeah. You won't freeze in there or anything. It's fine.
300 years in the
fine.
Future. It's fine.
It's, I'm sure they accounted for that.
I, however...
They accounted for stowaways
I like
in
the
cargo hold.
I like the fact that it's a four-hour...
A four-hour trip?
Four-hour trip.
A four-hour
And they
hour
have to, like,
tour.
Slide into these tubes... where they're laying down, and then somebody comes by and goes, okay, we're setting you to sleep now. Bye-bye.
I wish they did that to me when I go to Vegas.
And they shut them the fuck up.
I'd be okay with that for my flights to Milwaukee.
They didn't have to fucking get up to pee. They don't have drinks. They don't
probably
have to
catheters
eat.
In.
Nothing.
Not
they,
for
nothing.
3 hours,
they get
hours.
Nothing. For 4 hours, they're asleep. It's fine. Shut up. Go to bed.
And he slides right into that thing. They have no pillows either. I want a pillow, though. I can't get a pillow that'd say that.
I don't know. The inside of it
hours.
Was all bumpy.
Want,
it was kind of like a pillow.
You want five because you have to cuddle your fucking pillow.
They'd say that's $400, sir, for a pillow.
What were they even using for units of currency in this movie?
I don't ever
they
remember.
They don't really say.
Paid.
They just give numbers. So I don't know. But.
But.
So they're on the plane. They're heading there. And Zorg's pissed off because the Manglers couldn't get on the plane. They tried multiple times. That poor chick at the counter.
Not to the Manglers.
Had. Well, like four people that try to come up and try to say we're Corbin Dallas.
Dallas, yeah.
And eventually she got a phone and was like, yeah, no.
But
whatever.
It wasn't the Manglers that he was upset about. It was Tricky, his right-hand man, that he blew up.
Well,
by
well
this
Tricky
time,
was a Mangler.
No.
Yeah, when they do like a scan and it shows that he's a dangerous person.
No, those
no,
were
that
the
wasn't
other
Tricky.
Two.
Oh, I thought
but,
it was.
But by then.
I thought
he,
Tricky was a Mangler, though.
No, he wasn't. Oh. By then, the Manglers were already like at odds with him because he tried to blow them up. With the guns, with the funny reverse.
And he blows them again. But that's not Tricky on the phone. Is that Tricky on the phone with him when he calls?
Yes.
And he blows them up.
And that's he's like it'll never happen again. And he goes, I know. And then he blew him up.
How'd he blow him up?
Because he had a little chip on him, I'm sure.
Something, right?
Bang.
I don't know. Yeah. I mean, but yeah, he blows him up and blows up the good part of the airport, too. He does a good job. And that's right when they're taking off.
If you were in shut down space plane travel, that's a good way to do it.
Space plane.
And we meet our new character, who is...
I'm going to send that name to Tesla. Or not Tesla. What's his fucking name? Elon Musk, the guy that owns Tesla?
Tesla's been dead for...
Oh, yeah. I was like, that's the wrong thing. He owns Tesla, yeah. I'm going to send him like, hey, if you ever actually invent space planes, call them space planes. And give me like $5.
For each space plane.
Just give me $5 and credit. I don't care.
We meet Ruby Rod.
Finally. Jesus Christ. This fucking... I can't even say what he is
Chris
to the PC culture.
Well, I mean, he's a straight dude that just...
I know. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
But
I'm
he...
Kidding.
Yeah, he was very drag.
Very
oh,
drag.
He's super hilarious.
The thing I found weird is that he hosts radio show.
Yeah.
Radio show.
Well,
you
never know. Like subspace radio might be like the big thing then, because they can't quite send.
You never saw TV, did you?
No, there's no.
I'm trying to think.
No.
I don't ever remember.
Yeah,
TV.
Yeah. He's watching TV in his apartment. The cat's watching it when he sees the commercial.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
TV
right,
playing
right.
There. It looks like an
and,
old fucking.
And Ruby Rhodes was on the TV.
Yeah, he was on the TV then.
I was trying to think of that if I remember any cameras, but I don't.
don't think so.
No, it's a radio show on from 5 to 7, like every weekday, I would assume, maybe, or something. It seems like once a week, maybe. More than often than that, I think.
Probably every day.
Probably on whenever he can.
And what's so green? Like, is that okay?
That means cool.
Oh.
Like, you cool? You green?
That's stupid.
Things change in 300 years. Come on, just be green about it.
I always thought they were trying to make, like, a nod to Soylent Green.
I thought they were trying to say, like, save the environment kind of green, like, you know, planet Earth kind of thing.
With, like, the garbage.
Let's be green. I'm sure some people are like, hey,
or is
garbage
it
is bad.
Soy green, like, soy, the...
Okay.
The Spanish me.
But they arrive at Folsom Paradise.
Me green.
They come into this big, huge party going on.
Me verde.
Dallas and Lilo are separated. They're
she
somehow,
got up and left.
Yeah, yeah, so they're just totally...
Because she never went to bed, though, I don't think. She never fell asleep.
Well, she's a supreme being. She doesn't need to sleep. She was studying more stuff. She learned, like, a lot of English and stuff.
Isn't that
there.
Where she learned the war stuff, too?
No, that's coming up
later.
Yeah, no, spoiler. She's studying stuff, though. She learns to talk more, and she says hi to Dallas.
Which is funny, because she had said, please help me, all this other shit, and then all of a sudden she says hi, and he goes, oh, now we speak English?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
She's like, yes, I learned. Like,
oh, you weren't, those other words you were saying to me
that
weren't
was another,
English.
Yeah, that was something
that's
else.
That's when she, like, says, oh, I'm a supreme being, I'm going to protect you, and
she does,
like that.
She kept telling him she was the fifth element.
Me, fifth element.
But it was like he didn't fucking understand.
He's like, what the fuck are you babbling about? I don't know, but I love you.
Yeah.
But yeah, so they get to Folsom Paradise, which is like a resort ship, kind of.
Yeah, it was kind of like Hawaii is what it reminded me
of.
Like, there's people doing luau, or not luau, what are the dance, what's the dance?
Hula dancing. Yeah. And they get laid when they arrive.
Yeah.
They get that, and there's lots
I'm
of great
going
music.
There.
Gotta get laid.
They come in, they get separated, but the ship operators, they have an alarm going off, and they have a little problem. They check out, and there's a priest hiding in their electronics.
They thought it was another parasite, which that was awkward that there were these weird parasites that land there that, like...
Attack space planes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then Dallas gets his luxurious room. He gets a beautiful fucking room with everything he possibly need. He has, like, a closet with 20 suits in it.
If I win a fucking contest and I'm going to another fucking planet, yeah, you better give me everything I want.
Yeah, the angel planet, right?
But then he immediately gets a call from his mother. She
of
calls
course.
Him up immediately. And she's just berating him, which is... I think that could have been... The whole mom thing could have taken out of the film. It's just kind of...
Yeah.
She said, I can't believe I pushed you out of me. I should have just gotten a robot.
She thought she should have been brought along on a trip with him.
Yeah.
She's pissed about that.
Well, the first time she called, she's trying to get him to take her on the trip with him.
Well, the first time it was one of those, you know, what's going on? Why haven't you called me? Don't your fingers fucking
work? She knew
about
the trip, though. She knew.
I thought that was the second one.
No, no, it was the first time she knew that he won the trip before he did.
Okay.
The first time you hear that he won the trip. But you see, Miss Diva arrives. Diva Kachaka. She arrives, and
you
don't hear.
You
want to
try that again?
I did it perfectly. It's fine.
Okay, all right.
Puchaquana.
She's fully covered. She don't see what she looks like, but she comes walking in. She looks very tall. And Smokey starts his radio show. He's on from 5 to 7. And
Smokey!
Bruce Willis is the winner of the Gemini Croquet Contest.
And he's like, man, Corbin, it's Friday.
It's about what he says. Yeah. But, so Smokey did okay? I mean, you guys think he's annoying? I don't know.
What do you think, Danielle?
He was weird in this. I'm not...
A little too over the top?
A bit much.
Yeah, okay, yeah, I kind of see that.
But if you closed your eyes and listened to him, you could totally hear Smokey.
Oh, yeah, he was definitely
like
Chris Tucker.
He was over the top there, too. You know what I mean? Everything was all loud and obnoxious with him.
But I think the camera work kind of gave it more, especially when you first see him in the first scene. They kind of push his stuff. They echo his voice more. They kind of give
he's
him,
doing all like the silly singing shit too.
Yeah, he does a little sing song where he's like signing autographs with a paintbrush kind of thing. It gets kind of tiresome right away. But
I don't know. I always found the character very amusing before I realized it was Chris Tucker when I was, you know, 13, 12, seeing the movie for the first time, whatever.
Yeah.
And then, you know, later on, you know, after seeing, you know, Rush Hour and, you know, Fridays and all that shit and, you know, seeing it again, I was like, oh, shit, that is Chris Tucker.
Yeah,
and it's cool to see him do something not what I'm used to seeing him do, I guess, is what I'm getting at.
But Lilu and McClane are still separated. She goes and she's hiding outside of the diva's office. What?
Nothing. You said McClane and yeah. It just made us giggle.
Well, yeah, same thing. Same dude. He's going to get McClane.
I know who you're talking about.
But she's sitting outside the diva's office. She knows the diva has the stones, so she's going to like sit out there and wait for a chance. And she doesn't care about opera or whatever fucking...
Not her chance, but her time to maybe get to see her
to
by herself.
Yeah.
Get them.
Yeah.
Because she now knows the martial arts.
But she said, well, it had nothing to do with that. She knew that diva was going to give them to her.
Oh, I know.
Which was awkward, because now that we're coming up to that part...
The diva begins her show.
She told her little lady friend to go over there and tell her, you know, you'll get them, but after the show.
After the show, yeah.
And she says, after the show. Well, then, during the show, she sings, whatever, and Lilu goes to bust in the room to get the, see if she can get the stones, and she hears the guys talking about, what are those called? The mongoloids, what are they?
The mangalores.
Yeah.
Those. They ransacked the room, and they're talking about, you know, Zorg wants the stones, we'll get them first, and then we'll make him negotiate for them. She starts to get pissed off. You can see it in her face, and she's like, finally, she's like, fuck this. Walks in there and whoops everybody's ass, and tries to get the stones, and...
Well, during this time is when Zorg pulls this great line where he comes up to the ship like saying, hey, I got some trouble. Can I come and just dock with you guys for a minute? You know, my ship's kind of fucked up. Can I just, like, hang out and, like,
I just need to fix my shit real quick.
Yeah, yeah. Can I just dock in your ship for a minute? Like, sure, yeah, you got an hour. Okay, cool, thanks. And, boom, fucking Zorg's on the ship. So he's
all
there.
All it takes, apparently.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Lilo kicks everyone's ass, all the
Mandalores. I got to basically get a finger up my asshole to get on an airplane, but, you know, you just dock your space plane anywhere you want.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a public kind of thing. They're trying to be... I guess this might work out friendly in most cases.
I guess we gotta go another 200 years in the future for that one.
I would think it's a lot, probably pretty peaceful, I would think. Except for, you know, these fuckers. But,
except for half the people in the movie?
Well,
okay.
So after Lilu...
Zorg comes up to the room.
After she beats everybody
she's
up.
She's got everyone fucking beat up, and then Zorg shows up
and
with
grabs the box.
He's got his gun.
Yeah.
Z-15 or whatever it is.
Yeah, whatever the fuck it's called.
And he's going after Lilo, trying to kill her. And he only uses the gun part. He doesn't use anything else. This fancy gun that he talked about earlier. And now he's shooting at her, and I'm waiting to see him try to... The flamethrower. Try the shit on her now.
Yeah,
come on.
Try the rockets.
And
he can't use
the, what is it, the first, like, shoot where you already shot... type of thing.
That's kind of dumb because the person moves, it's not going to work.
That's why he couldn't do that.
Yeah, I could see that one not working.
Yeah.
But I want to see some other shit. I want to see some rocket launchers and some arrows and shit. All the shit he fucking talked about this badass gun, now he has it in his hand, and all he's doing is fucking shooting in the ceiling. And speaking of shooting the ceiling, somehow the singer, diva chick, she gets shot?
Yeah.
What are they called?
The Mangalores?
Yes. When they busted in.
See, it looks like it's from Gary Oldman from Zygo. It looks like because he's like shooting in the ceiling, and you see him shoot across the ceiling, and all of a sudden,
cuts to a scene of her getting shot.
But that's when they walked in, too.
Yeah, I was
going to
say, I'm pretty sure
they
walked
shot.
In, yeah.
Yeah.
So they shot her.
Which is weird how they're trying to get people out of the auditorium when you think, if you have hostages, just fucking keep them right there in the auditorium.
Yeah, don't go fucking anywhere.
But the lizard big people aren't that smart, I guess.
Well, and the one guy said it was an ambush. Like... One chick was an ambush.
Yeah.
Well, she beat them all, so I guess.
Yeah. But,
But the diva gets shot.
Right.
After her song. Which is the song? Song's badass, huh?
Song's all right.
Okay.
I guess. For a song.
Well, I guess they
had... For an opera.
Yeah, in a movie.
Well, they had to do something a little different, because if you listen to it, you know, it's not humanly possible for a person to sing it like that. They use the singer, and she... had to, like, record different notes. Because the problem was to jump from a certain note to a certain note. It's impossible for a human to do that. So they recorded it where she sang it to that note, stopped, and then started again, and they, you know, put it together. So I thought that was kind of interesting, that
they
did make something alien with it and made it something special.
It seems like there's a lot of those little details in this movie that the more you watch it, the more you're going to pick up on shit, and the more you look into it, the more there is to find.
Right.
But I think Luc Besson did a good job. But then the diva tells him where the stones are.
Right, which is in her.
Come on.
Yeah.
So you knew that she had to die in order to give Lilu the stones, which is why she waited until after her concert?
So did she shoot herself? Just, like, poke herself in the belly?
No, but what would she have done? Would she have cut open her stomach and given them to her?
That, and she was, like, a fit little alien broad, where she had four of these fucking big stones in her? Plus her organs?
Small. Those things were the size of my forearm.
I mean, she's on stilts, let's be honest.
But her torso, where it was
But it was made to look like her torso was longer.
Okay, alright.
I mean, she's on stilts. Motherfucker's like 7-something.
Maybe she's actually that tall. Maybe she's not on stilts.
She was on stilts. You could totally tell how she walked out on that stage.
True.
It was all bow-legged and shit.
But the diva says that she, that Lilu's gonna need McLean's help and his help and his love, which is where the movie starts to get to me. But
So
Zor gets another empty crate, which is great. He opens the crate up that he took from the room, and it's empty, and he just fucking laughs, which is, you know, kind of goofy, dumb, kind of, it makes it kind of a little cartoony, I guess. You know, the movie is a little cartoony.
Oh yeah,
I guess I can give it that.
Little campy, not overly, but.
But then he's approached by the Mangalores, or Dallas's, and he beats him up. He gives Smokey a gun. They have this whole part in the whole shoot up thing and the whole auditorium.
He says, "Hold this. I don't feel so good. I got a headache."
Well, then the part where Smokey's like up on the second floor in the balcony, and Bruce Willis like shoots the floor around him.
But he's like pushing him first, like move. And he's
because
like,
he knows the
he's
dude's
trying
up
to
in the
tell
ceiling.
Me something.
Yeah.
I don't know what he's saying to me. Come on, dude.
But then he shoots the floor underneath him. Like, come on here.
All around him. Yeah. Just around him. Just enough to make him fall down.
And then he can fall whole story.
Young Guns style.
Yeah.
And he'll be fine. Does that happen in Young Guns?
Young Guns 2, I believe.
Huh, okay. But so they get this whole shootout where Dallas turns into John McClane. And just fucks everything up and, you know, jumps off of, you know, from a second story down.
Yeah.
Into the bar.
Into the bar, falls. He's fucking fine. He's trying to get a gun from the deaf guy. He can't get it from him because the guy's fucking deaf. Throws some gold balls. There you go.
Some pool balls.
Yeah.
And shit goes on. And it goes to the point where Dallas just gives up. He lost his gun. He's surrounded by these fucking Mangalores. And he tries to play the you got the wrong guy kind of card. And
just
he says,
on
I'm
vacation.
I'm just here on vacation. And he tries to trick the Mangalores. And he finally works it out where he jumps on a teeter totter somehow and gets a gun.
Right.
And starts fucking shit up again. Which Bruce Willis, right? This is what you pay to see Bruce Willis do, right?
True.
So there's a timer set. It's at 10 minutes that Gary Oldman, Zorg, set. And that's going to go on. So Dallas is just fucking more guys up. The leader
Isn't General Zorg the bad guy from Toy Story?
I don't know.
Huh.
Pretty sure.
It sounds familiar.
Can I get a Google on that
one?
I'm looking it up. Go ahead.
So Dallas is fucking more guys up. The leader actually gets the priest hostage, and he wants to negotiate. And Dallas is up with the leader of security, maybe on the ship kind of guy.
Yeah.
Some guy who has no idea what he's doing. And I like the Bruce Willis line. I was like, you might as well give it a try.
General Zod on Superman. When you said it like that, I'm like...
Yeah, it was Superman.
Well, who was the bad guy in the Toy Story one?
Let me see.
The guy that was against Buzz Lightyear.
So he meets the captain of the ship.
Zurg.
Dallas goes out and negotiates with him, which is a quick gunshot right to the head.
Yeah, bang.
Because he says the Mangalores won't fight unless their leader's killed.
They won't fight if the leader's dead.
Yeah.
Which is weird.
They have no reason to.
Pack mentality.
You think that would have helped to know that earlier on?
Yeah, you would just shoot the first one.
Yeah.
Just bang, movie over.
But so, after that,
woo!
Somehow all the other Mangalores disappear. They're gone. And Dallas goes and finds Lilo. who's bleeding from a duct hanging up there. He pushes the piano over to get up there. He pushes it like it's a fucking end table. You see, it just slides right over. He's like,
I think
whoop.
It was on wheels.
Either way, a piano's still fucking heavy.
I think it definitely was on wheels, whatever he pushed. But
yeah.
But he gets right there.
I think he pushed
but
a bunch
when
of foam.
But that's when Ruby runs into there, and she's like, what, wait a minute. He, she, whatever it was today. And she, all of a sudden, Priest comes running in, and he stops the priest, and he's like, what's all these numbers mean?
They see the bomb, yeah. And that's when they know it's time to fucking go.
And then he turns, and I love it, because he turns right to Dallas, and he's like, so what do we do? Tell me you know how to, tell me you know how to turn this off. What do we do? And the next scene you see is Dallas running down the hallway carrying Lulu, like running.
Well, he says something like, oh, no, this ship has an automatic bomb detector on it.
Right. If it was a bomb, it would know.
And then immediately right after that, alarm's like going off.
There's a bomb, and it will be set in 10, 9, 8.
Well, no, it's 10 minutes they have to get out of there.
Oh, it was like seconds by then.
No, they had 10 minutes.
Did they?
Yeah.
Because
they run out, and they pull the old switcheroo where they're all running in one elevator. Now the other elevator comes Zorg, which is...
with a gun again. Like, you thought you had everything. He got on his spaceship. He opened up the box. The box was empty yet again. Second fucking time. And he goes back in, and they're going down on the elevator. He's coming up. And it was funny because he stopped at the elevator and looked, and you can see the doors shut.
They were just shutting,
They were just shutting. And it was like... it was almost like he was too quick getting off of the elevator, like bad timing in the movie itself, but almost good timing because as they shut, he...
what can you do?
Yeah.
Once it's going,
you're stuck.
You can't get him, so... but he's still looking around for him, though. He's walking through.
He goes all the way back upstairs and back up to D.Va's room.
Well, he's still looking for the stones. That's what he wants.
Yeah.
He's looking for the stones.
But if you'd have seen them getting in the elevator going down, you probably would have followed them.
And he gets up to the timer, and he sees it's counting down. There's not much time left anymore. It's
five
getting
seconds
low
at that point.
And he has his little secret fucking card that he drops right in there. Shuts it down.
5 seconds to go.
So it's all good. So he's good.
But then...
there's one of the Mangalores.
There you go. Good job.
Hey. And he's like the Predator, almost.
For the honor.
Yeah. He's done for. He's like, I'm taking everything with me. Fuck it. And he pushes some button on his little watch thing, and boom, a little 5-second bomb pops up, and Zor's got 5 seconds, and he sees it. And
I actually started laughing at that part, because it was more of a locker combination lock.
Yeah.
Like, he pulls that up out of his hand, reaches over, and turns the dial, and he's like, for the honor. And he, like... and then it continues to count down from 5 seconds, which was weird that that one was set for 5 seconds, and that one stopped at 5 seconds.
Yeah, because it's a totally different bomb.
Yeah.
Which is kind of weird, too. It was a totally different one. Because
the box opens, and the bomb pops up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right
yeah.
next to Zorg after he just shut off his bomb.
But, so, Dallas and his crew, he's got the Priest and Lulu and Smokey Chris Tucker. And they're blasting off and just getting out of the firebomb somehow.
He said, hold on, it's like driving a cab.
Yeah. He figures out how to fly it, which, you know, okay.
And he can fly anything and he can shoot anything.
Well, he was in Special Forces, too. So
He can fly anything.
He can fly it. And he gets out, and the president is fucking partying up. He's about ready to fucking have a party. When he's down for him, the orb is moving at a high speed towards Earth.
That poor guy that has to tell him that all the time. Looks like we're saved. Yay, everybody pop the champagne. All of a sudden, we have a problem.
Shit, so we're not quite out of the frying pan yet.
I lied.
So they need to get to this temple in Egypt and fix this shit. And while they're traveling, Lilo finally gets the W on her file.
And types in war. She literally types it in, W-A-R.
And you're a Googler. And she sees all these images, which, you know, are 20th century pictures, nothing happens after today.
It was so
there's
weird,
no
though, because
there's
there was
no
a lot.
No war after 1995.
There was a lot of Holocaust pictures.
Yeah,
it was World War II.
Yeah, it was all World War II.
You should have made some shit up, but some, like, high-res fucking something in there.
Yeah.
Something that looked, you know, futuristic, at least, because You gotta think there's something. Come on. We're mankind here, people. We're gonna fucking fight. But she looks it over, and she's losing all her faith in humanity.
And she's like, oh, why would I...
She turns into everybody else.
Yeah, yeah. So they get to the Egyptian temple, and they place Lilo in the center. They're on the altar there where she should belong. And they set these stones up, and they're trying to set them up. And I love like, the looks on everyone's faces when they're trying to figure out the puzzle. They all look... Like, hey, Luke Besson's like, hey, look puzzled. And they're all like... They're all like rubbing their chin and shit, like
they're all perplexed.
Look perplexed. Yeah. So that's a great scene. And then David somehow figures it out by accidentally blowing on it.
Well, for opening them. I was going to say for setting them up. Bruce Willis did. I don't know if you caught that. He dusted them off, and then he looks at him, and he's holding the stone for water in his hand, and he goes like nobody on the podcast, listening can see this, but. I'm waving my hand in, like, a weird wave motion.
The rolling with the homie.
Right. And he does this, like, oh, these are waves. Okay. And he trades them off. The other one grabs the next one and puts that in place and then goes, the symbols are on there. Just follow those. Yeah. Everybody goes, runs, and puts one on us.
Well, before they actually figure out the puzzle, they're talking to Lilo, trying to get some out of her, and she's fucking wasted. And
wasted face.
She starts talking and
shit face.
She's
talking wasted.
She talks in code. She says, "Rain falls too late." Said shit like that.
Wind blows, rain falls, or water falls like rain.
Something. She's not saying, "Hey, put some water on the water stone."
Yeah.
Blow on the wind stone.
Yeah. But hold on.
Light a match.
Yeah.
Well, then in a second here, the dude
rub some dirt on it.
No, the dude happens to blow on the windstone or whatever, and it opens up or whatever.
And it opens.
And it kind of opens or whatever, and then it opens up again after they fuck with it for a second. And Bruce was like, "I got this." Then he blows on it just the littlest bit, and the whole thing lights up and shit. And I'm like, "Well, if it did it from just Bruce Willis's little last breath." Why wouldn't it have done it from fucking the fryer? You know what I mean?
He didn't have his Devo hat on.
I guess. Gotta have the hat or be Bruce Willis to activate the
stone. One or the other.
But so they get the four stones going, but they can't get the fifth element going because Lilo has lost her faith in humanity.
Which means she's turning dark.
She doesn't.
Which is where she needs Corbin's love.
She doesn't know love. Like, come on.
Love is worth saving? I don't know love.
Yeah.
You can tell this was written by a 16-year-old.
But yeah, so...
you took what could have been a really cool sci-fi movie and had to throw a fucking love story in it.
And a love... unbelievable love
and
story,
unbelievable,
too.
Yeah.
These two do not love
There's
each other.
There's no
come
reason
on.
At all that they should even want to fuck.
Well, Bruce Willis wants to fuck her. She shouldn't be interested in him. She's like, no. Yeah. Oh,
nobody
you're,
should
You're a fucking
be.
Cab driver. Fuck off.
Sorry.
That was pretty good. I was going to say, in all honesty, she's like 2 days old.
Yeah. And she doesn't know anything. She can't even speak fucking English, barely. She's learning it. He should be treating her more like a fucking kid than a fucking fuck interest.
Yeah, exactly. That's my point.
Not Mila. What's her name?
Kate Beckinsale?
I was going to say the first lady, but never mind.
Ivanka?
But Dallas says he loves her. Because he's told to. The priest is like saying, just tell her you love her. Okay, I love you. And
a very unconvincing I love you.
And totally unconvincing, but it works for her because girls are fucking stupid.
Oh yeah, by the way, I love you. It's about how it works.
Whatever, Jason told me you love me right away.
I was fucking drunk.
Within minutes of meeting her.
Yeah.
It wasn't that soon. I would have fucking left.
So we get... Wait, you leaving right now?
She's leaving your ass.
So we get back in the city, and the president arrives to meet Dallas.
Debo.
Yeah, President Debo. Fucking A.
I gotta say that's probably my favorite part of this movie.
President Debo. Yeah, I can give you that.
Yeah.
That's respectable.
Just every time he pops up, I crack up. I crack up every single time. I'm just like, you got knocked the fuck out.
True.
It's like, who's going to go to war with him? I wouldn't.
No.
I'm not fucking stupid.
I ain't fucking with Debo.
Yeah.
Just for your fucking bike.
I ain't got his money.
That's my grandma's chain.
We ain't breaking in the neighbor's house. Don't give a shit.
Hell no. But he's there to give Dallas and Lilo his congratulations. And they get there.
As he should.
And they're in some chamber.
Yeah, talking. Some hall, yeah, whatever.
No, the Dallas and Lilo are in chamber thing.
Yeah.
Whatever they are in, they're in some
the
kind of like
suspension chamber thing, yeah.
Which, if you're in a sleeping
chamber, I don't know what you would call that.
Why would you come to their sleeping chamber to bother them for a press conference?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you meet somewhere else where they're awake? Because they're banging in there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, they're steaming up that little plexiglass window.
I mean, just like Luc Besson, you know, met the 15-year-old and seduced her, Bruce Willis seduces the 19-year-old Mila Jovovich.
Who is playing a two-day-old in the movie.
Yeah, that's how the movie ends.
The movie ends with fucking Bruce Willis being a pedophile, I think is what we ended up with.
And the president talking to his mom.
Oh, and his mom calls to speak with her, yeah. Yeah, that one's good. So, and that's the movie. I guess we have to go through and get what we think of it. What are our ratings?
Yeah, we
got
a rater.
Like who wants to start? Anyone volunteer? Should I start?
I don't give a shit.
I'll start this one. I haven't started one in a while. So, Fifth Element, like I said earlier in our opening, where we talked in depth about how we first saw the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that was a good discussion. All right, I like your rating. How's it going, Daniel?
I don't think I saw it in the theater. I saw it when it came on video, probably shortly after that. And I was really taken aback by Gary Oldman because I thought the dude was fucking awesome after True Romance and Dracula and Professional. I was expecting a lot more from Gary Oldman. I was disappointed by that. I was never really that big of a Bruce Willis fan, so that didn't really do much for me. I love Die Hard, but anything else, like, eh.
Yeah.
You know. And I didn't really like it much at all, really, the first time I saw it, so I would give it a low rating then. And I saw it now a few times. I watched it again, like, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, 6 years ago, 10 years ago, and gave it another try, and it was better than then. So now I it's even better now, actually. It keeps on going up every time I see it, I think. Like, I learned to appreciate it a little more. So I'll give it a case.
I also was going to give it a case for the same reason. It seems like the more I watch it, the more I like it. The first couple times I watched it,
you kind of accept the
cheesiness. Didn't really care for it, and it was, this is just a Bruce Willis making money
sci-fi,
movie.
Yeah.
Cool. And then it... Like you said, it grows on you. It's definitely not bad, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, and well, the effects still hold up pretty well too.
Oh, they hold up really well.
Especially the cityscape. That looks fucking badass.
There's a couple of them that are a little cheesy with the bright lights.
There's
and
always
stuff,
gonna be a few.
But yeah. Other than that, I mean, it's not nothing excessive.
Yeah, you can go on YouTube and see there's a little video that they have about when they built the city.
Yeah.
And they show the guys like standing in the streets, fucking painting and shit. It's pretty fucking
suck.
Cool. Why? For a job?
Saying,
that suck?
That must have sucked.
If your job is fucking designing a city and it's going to take you a year, you're getting paid to do that?
Yeah,
for a fucking 5-second scene in a movie?
Yeah, fuck it.
I'd take it.
Yeah.
I'd do it.
I mean, as long as I got paid enough to support myself for that year,
I'm sure they get paid just fine. Mm-hmm. Sure they make a living wage, for sure.
I would hope they do.
All
right,
Danielle?
Wow, you guys are just...
So would you rate it a case as well?
I also gave it a case.
I'm going to go with probably a six-pack.
Ooh.
I mean, it wasn't bad.
For the opposite reason. The more she watches it, the more she hates
it.
Yeah.
Not going to lie.
Yeah?
Oh, wow, really? I was just fucking around.
No, it's one of those, like, I didn't remember really watching it when it first came out type of thing, but I know I saw it, but I probably didn't. It was something that couldn't keep my attention, and even now, I had to watch it 3 more times just to get everything.
To really figure out what was going on.
Yeah, because, like, I'd turn it on, and then I'd, like, okay, I'd play on Facebook, and just do other things. But, I mean, it's not a horrible movie. It just, it didn't keep my attention the way.
Okay.
I don't know.
Well,
It was an odd feature, an odd... I'm not a big fan of...
So this movie is...
Movie set in the...
Future?
Yeah.
So this movie is 20 years old. Does it hold up? Justin?
Yeah.
I mean...
I'd say it does.
Danny, do you think it holds up, though, at least? Like, the effects, things like that? What do you think about that?
You know what? I actually think the effects in this movie aren't bad.
I think they're better than half the fucking movies I see these days.
Even if you look at something like Charlie and the Chocolate Factory from Johnny Depp's, you know, movie, whatever, it's, you can tell the fake in it.
That's just 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah, and you can totally...
Well, probably 10 now, huh?
Even Twilight, when dude changes into a fucking werewolf, and, you know, it just, you can see the bullshit in those movies. This one, the effects probably held up better than...
Yeah, I agree.
Than even nowadays.
Yeah,
I agree. I think they did a good job mixing the little bit of CGI with the practical. Yeah,
cool. Which I'm a huge fan of practical. I shouldn't say I hate CGI, but it's everything's all CGI.
Yeah,
unless it's a cartoon. It's a cartoon movie, well, I don't want to see that shit.
Yeah. If you're gonna do it something like the fucking Lord of the Rings movies or Hobbit movies, where you put a
build a bigger scene to make the people look shorter.
Yeah,
you
put a fucking, you know, $100 million into all your CGI shit.
And I don't know,
just
if
for the one movie to make it look good.
They spent what, $90,000 on this movie?
$90 million.
Okay, I was like, what?
But they made
$90,000 would be really good.
Yeah,
they made it all back overseas. It wasn't a big hit in America, but it was huge like other places. It was one of the number one movies in France that year. Corporate du Pessoal. But it
had all his friends from primary school.
It made like $300 million total with like
and his wife's friends.
And like, how much was that from the U.S.? Does it say what it made in the U.S.?
$230 million.
That's total though.
I don't have any of that info.
All right, well, that's DFC.
I think we covered
it up. And thanks for listening. You can find us where?
Drunk Film Commentary at yahoo.com.
Find us on Instagram, find us on Facebook, all that shit. This is JTB.
Google it.
This is JTB.
Google
it. I'm Danielle.
Yeah, I'm just in time, folks.
And it's a song by Joanna Thorrell called Fifth Element.
And I don't want to hear it.